you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Clyde Tombaugh, who discovered this planet, made his telescope out of a cream separator and parts of an old Buick. Amory.
What is Pluto?
Pluto is right.
Dean, what's wrong with you?
I'm 6'2", 195-pound monkey.
How was your first day of school?
Great. I really enjoyed science class. Do you know that before we were humans, we were monkeys?
Yeah.
What were we before monkeys? I don't know. I don't even remember being a monkey.
I strongly disagree with that. I reject that.
And now,
here's one for the ladies. Rape me. Rape me, my friend. Come on, rape me.
Our feature presentation.
That guy's funny and all, but it's impossible to get off his mailing list. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
Impossible.
Yes. Very difficult.
That's a friend of ours that did that, just that song right there, that version of that song. And I get, I don't know, 15 email a day, probably.
Yeah. And I think he thinks it's funny when you write back and say, hey, quit sending me stuff.
Right.
Hey, take me off your mailing list. Hey, I don't want to hear from you anymore. I mean, every single way you can think of to request to not receive email, he just keeps on sending it.
Is there any way to not be on this list? Could you please take me off this? You say it every different way, and Bean's right. And then finally, you just have to put in a filter that just says, you know, go to deleted email.
Right.
Go to junk. Right.
Otherwise.
Yeah. Hey, that list of people who don't get your stuff, could I be one of them?
Right. You figure if you ask it enough different ways, it'll get through? No.
No.
Yeah. Well,
he knows where you're going. He's just not letting you go there.
Yeah, true.
Right. Yep. He's done well for himself. I'm telling you. He's managed to make a living being Richard Cheese, which
yeah.
is, you know.
It's my mom's favorite person in the world.
What?
Really?
My mom loves Dick Cheese. She's like,
really?
What?
Yeah,
she's heard the song we just played?
And she's met him through weird, you know, little events that we go to, and she's like, he's just the nicest man. He's such a gentleman.
All right, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to bring in your mom.
No.
And bring in Dick Cheese and let him sing to her.
Right.
Maybe, yeah, bring me. And then maybe some kind of a nice relationship will begin.
Maybe she's not listening to the words.
I don't think my mom really pays attention to his art as much as just his...
His name is Dick Cheese.
His charisma in person has overwhelmed her.
Wow. Mr. Psycho must not be very charismatic.
I was in an antique store, of all places, in Wisconsin a few years ago, and they were listening to a Richard Cheese CD, and it surprised me. It really surprised me. I'm like, why? And she's like, oh, my God, we have every one of his albums. We love him so much.
Is it the Cheese Connection?
Yeah, it's the Cheese, Wisconsin.
Maybe he's huge in Wisconsin. I don't know. But, yeah, we had him play. He played out in front of Acoustic Christmas one year, years ago. He's been a frequent guest on this show. But I think Rape Me is my favorite of all his numbers.
Well, it is, yeah. His version of it is pretty funny.
Yeah.
It was the first dance song at my wedding. And
is that
partly
right?
Why, partly why I have a little bit of sentimental attachment. Hey,
nice,
by the way, anyone see Kevin on the news last night?
What are you talking about?
No.
Did you see, at least, Mike, did you see Kevin on the news last night?
Why was that in the news?
I think I have the clip.
A fire at a Los Angeles high-rise is being blamed on one of those little laser pointers.
Can I ask you a question that you can't answer?
The fire broke out Saturday morning in a 17-story office building, and investigators say it was from the pointer left on an exam table in a dermatologist's office. It somehow ignited some nearby furniture.
There are real definite lines that you do not cross. Obviously everybody's, you know, trying to get ratings, trying to get noticed, trying to be this and that, but there are lines that you just don't cross, and that's one of them.
No one was hurt, but the fire cost about $200,000 in damage.
That is some f***ed up s***.
Yeah, that's what you say now, man, while you're pleading innocent, but...
Wow, I didn't realize at the time that's where it went.
Yep.
You know how you sit down, things can fall out of your pocket.
Yeah.
Like
Kevin
pens.
Is deadly with a laser pointer, I'll tell you that. Who knew, by the way, you could start a fire just leaving one on a table?
I would never have thought so.
No.
I would have thought you could have left a laser on pointing at kindling, and it wouldn't start on fire. Just because
know.
It doesn't seem like it's hot. You
so
know?
Basically, Hootie could have burst into flames.
Hootie could have, yes.
Well, now you know why they were so pissed.
Hootie the Blowfish, they were playing the Grammys, and I laser pointed him, and he could have burst into flames, and I did not realize that. So I'd like to apologize again for that.
I'd like to express regret that it didn't happen. He didn't burst into flames.
Did you guys hear yesterday, who's the White House spokesman? What's his name?
Tony Snow?
Tony Snow. He was talking to the press, and he was talking about the president's speech tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, oh, yeah, he's, you know, making a few changes, nothing big, no policy changes or anything. He's just polishing it. And then he went on to say these words, and he got laughed out of the room by the press. He said, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you open up a drawer full of diamonds, and you just move them around a little bit.
He did.
He did, yes. I think he was trying to be funny. I don't know. But I do know that the press found it overwhelmingly funny, and they just exploded with laughter. Because President Bush, his speech is not like opening a drawer of diamonds. Okay?
Well, funny.
That's Tony Snow has a very tough job.
Yeah, well, no kidding.
Let's face it.
So I think he was
knew
kidding.
That when he took it.
I think he was. I'm guessing he was joking, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Usually people in that position don't get to joke, but...
Well,
we got
to
get that audio because that was spectacular.
Is with the State of the Union, everything's going to be better. That's all I know because big things are going to be promised and things are going to be turned around and America's going to be back on the right track.
And Bean's going to watch. Bean's very excited about these types of things.
I do enjoy seeing what the president has to say, sure.
And even though I can tell you right now what he's going to say is that we're sending over more troops, we're going to win in Iraq, we need better health care, and we're going to upgrade the schools, and crime needs to go down.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of the same BS that everybody promises every single time everybody promises.
But this year, he's going to do it.
Because he's got all that capital, all that trust and everything from the American people?
He's been sandbagging us for the first 6 years. Now he's ready to get rocking. Now he's ready to work.
Are you really going to watch it?
He always watches it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I've watched every State of the Union since I was a little kid, as far as I know.
Wow.
It's the president addressing the nation. How do you not watch that?
Well, you not watch that because you're not the least bit interested, A, and B, you know exactly what he's going to say.
Well,
it's not
going to
be a single surprise.
All I'm saying is this. If they honk up American Idol tonight, I'm really going to be pissed. If somehow, I haven't looked at the time of what time AI's on, what time the president's on, but if he screws with American Idol, you think his popularity ratings are low now. Look out if you preempt AI.
I think I would like for him to have to give his State of the Union speech in front of the three judges.
And have them rate it?
Yes. And then, like, after every paragraph, he goes to them and Simon and Paula and Randy. They all give their opinions on it. I think that would be the best way to do it.
Well, anyway, that's tonight.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
Let's not look forward to tomorrow's show in which Doto will be in our studios.
What? Doto's
back? Wow.
Yes.
He's back from the Orient.
Almost got the death penalty because somebody else put, what was it, cocaine?
Yeah, I think.
In his suitcase, and he got found, and they almost, they gave him a lie detector test. If they would have tried him and found him guilty, death.
Fantastic.
So, anyway, that's tomorrow. This morning, we got Bob Saget on the show.
He's always fun.
Coming in about the Farce of the Penguins, which is supposed to be a very funny movie. We've tried to get our hands on it for about 2 years. We have not been able to. Let's see. Also on today's show, we have Kevin and Bean interns. We're going to tell you about the new intern program.
Okay.
I say new because it's the same as it's always been. But we're looking for new ones. And it's Tuesday the 23rd of January.
Clearly, it must be said.
We have Steve Wozniak,
who was
co-founder of Apple. He's got a new book out called iWoz, From Computer Geek to Cult Icon.
Interesting.
I read probably about 80%, maybe a little more of the book yesterday. It's fascinating.
Wow, you read almost the whole thing?
I'm a fan of his, and he's an interesting guy. I mean, talk about the title is perfect. Computer Geek to Cold Icon. I mean, this is the kid who just must have gotten beaten up his whole life, and now has got the last laugh because of the empire that he built. But, yeah, I mean, he was, you know, come home from working at Hewlett-Packard, drive home, have your TV dinner while you watch Star Trek, and then go back and work on building Apple, you know? Fascinating, fascinating story.
So we're going to have him on today. We also are going to debut a new feature, James Brown Body Watch 2007. That's coming up this morning. Trying to figure out where the hell his dead body is. Let's see. We're going to pimp your band name. That's another new feature today, just after 6 o'clock. We've come across so many lame bands, and the bands aren't the problem. The name of the band is the problem.
Gotta have a catchy name.
That's the first thing people notice about you is the name, and if it just says nothing, how freaking boring is that?
Yeah.
So we have a list, a master list, of about 150 fantastic band names, And just after 6 o'clock, if you are in a band and you'd like to call up, we'll figure out, you know, tell us what your band name is, and then we'll tell you whether you're allowed to keep it or we're going to give you an upgrade. We're going to move you up. Going to give you a better band name.
Public service.
Something that'll get people's attention.
So, okay.
It's a new service that we provide here on K-Rock. And I hope you've heard about the fat panda that's on a diet so it can have sex, because it's too fat to have sex with the female panda. It will kill her.
Aww.
So they're putting it on a diet so that it would actually be able to have sex. Not that it wants to, but
it moved to do it.
And Paul Tillet, is it Paul Tillet or Tillet, Bean? I'm sorry.
I think it's Tillet.
Right.
I'm not sure. We just call him Paul T around K-Rock, but he's the genius behind Coachella. And
yes,
he'll be in today to tell us what's new for 2007, including, I'm hoping, some of the background info we've all been wondering about how Rage Against the Machine got back together for his show.
Yeah, that's such a great thing. So we're going to have him in and we're going to ask him all about that. How did it come about? Who contacted who? How did it work? I mean, It just seems like Zach would not have anything to do with those guys for the longest time. Now he's getting back together with them. So we have many questions. So he's coming in this morning in the 9 o'clock hour, and we're going to figure out just exactly what's going on with Coachella, plus your chances to win tickets for Coachella as you qualify for K-Rock's World Tour 2007, destination number 4, which is a drawing to send you and a friend to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Sydney, Australia.
Crikey.
That's Sydney-o, Australia-o. By the way, Ralph's got the showbiz beat when we come back, including a rundown on all of the 79th Annual Academy Award nominations just announced. So if you've not yet heard who's being up for Oscars this year, he'll have that for you next, right after this on K-Rock. 551, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Peek. Good morning, Ralph.
This morning, the Oscar nominations were announced. The Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences do this every year. They give us the nominees of who will be voted upon to win the Oscars coming this March. And I won't bore you now with all of the nominees. I don't want to read all of them.
Well, it can be a long list.
So I'll just give you, let's say, Best Actress, Best Actor, and Best Picture, okay?
Okay.
Here's from this morning's news conference. Sid Gannis, the president of the Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, saying who the nominees are for Best Actress.
For Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role, the nominees are Penelope Cruz, Bolvar, Judi Dench in Notes on a Scandal, Helen Mirren in The Queen.
Winner. Winner.
Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada. And Kate Winslet in Little Children.
Just give it to Helen Mirren now.
Yeah.
I need to go see Volva. I didn't know that movie was out.
Volvaire.
Oh, that's
awesome. That was Penelope Cruz's girlfriend, which is what we want to believe, Salma Hayek, who was jumping up and down like a little schoolgirl when she heard that her friend had been nominated for an Oscar, because she has not been nominated for a lot of these other awards, but apparently the big one came through for her.
Here's Salma Hayek, speaking of which, talking about who got the Best Actor nominations.
The nominees for Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role are Leonardo DiCaprio in Blood Diamond, Ryan Gosling in Half Nelson, Peter O'Toole in Venus, Will Smith in The Pursuit of Happiness, and Forrest Whitaker in The Last King of Scotland.
Wow. There you go. Good performances, no big movies there in those performances.
Yeah, no kidding.
I can't believe no one from
No one from what?
Sorry. I can't believe no one from The Departed got nominated.
Yeah, true.
Leonardo for that film, or Nicholson, or maybe supporting actor.
Leonardo did, didn't he?
For Blood Diamond.
Oh, Blood Diamond, right. Yeah. Yeah, I believe Mark Wahlberg did pick up a nomination for supporting, which is great, because he was terrific in that movie of big, big stars.
And lastly, we have the Best Picture of the Year nominations.
And finally, I am pleased to announce that the films nominated for Best Picture of 2006 are Babel, The Departed, Letters from Iwo Jima, Little Miss Sunshine, and The Queen.
There you go. Your big Oscar nominations for 2007.
Little Miss Sunshine was great.
Yeah, good to see that got nominated at least.
Yeah.
You got a chance to re-release it and make some money off it now. Because it did well, but not nearly as well as it could have, because not enough people saw it.
That movie was great.
Speaking of special events, I talk about this every year. The Museum of Television Radio does a television festival each and every year.
Right.
Where you get to spend an evening with the stars and creators of your favorite TV shows, past and present. And this year, they just released this list this morning of the shows that they'll be talking about and spending evenings with this year. And it's such an amazing list. I wanted to talk to you about it. It is the Museum of Television Radio, as I mentioned, the William S. Paley Television Festival. It's going to be March 1st through the 15th. And after you hear the list, you're going to want to join the Museum of Television Radio because you get to buy the tickets early. If you wait to buy them with the rest of the public, it will sell out almost immediately because they're very small venues. They do this in, and you're going to want to see some of these.
And what do? They have a table up front where they all sit?
They put them up on stage, or on couches, okay. And they have a moderator who talks about the show and asks them questions about how the show came to be and what it's like to work on it, and the audience listens to that. Usually they have a screening, maybe an advanced episode that hasn't aired yet. You get a chance to see that, and then they'll open up the floor to questions to the audience, so you can ask your stars and creators questions that you had about your favorite TV shows.
Very cool.
If you're a TV geek like I am, it's a great evening just to hang out and see those people and to hear what they have to say, because you get a much more in-depth look at television than you ordinarily would. So it's really a great opportunity. Here is the list of shows this year that they're going to be covering. American Idol kicks off the festival. The judges will be there, and the producers talking about how that show is such a cultural phenomenon, really.
Why boo, Kevin? You can go and buy Paula Abdul a drink. How much fun would that be?
That's the only thing I would do is ask her what she is, if she wants a drink, if she needs some Vicodin.
What do you got in your pockets right now?
It's like every other question would be that.
The second night of the festival, The Office.
Oh,
fantastic.
Wow.
Casting creators of The Office. That would be a funny, funny evening to spend with those guys. An evening with George Lucas is featured this year as well.
No kidding.
Not quite sure what he has to do with television, but it's George Lucas.
He has one. Has a TV.
Brothers and Sisters. Lisa May will be there front row for this one.
All over that.
Get a chance to see... Calista Flockhart and Balthazar Getty in the same room.
Woohoo!
The Closer. Great show.
Love it.
Done over there on TNT. Dexter.
Awesome.
Yes.
Nip Tuck.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
Prison Break.
Oh.
Heroes.
Wow.
Ugly Betty. Jericho. And a special evening celebrating 400 episodes of The Simpsons with the cast and creators of The Simpsons.
Wow.
God.
So that's that's every damn show right there.
That's pretty good. Everything but American Idol sounds great.
So you really, if you'd like to get a part of this, you should check out MTR for Museum of Television Radio, MTR.org. Sign up, become a member, and then you'll get information on how you can buy advanced tickets and check this whole thing out. It'll be an entertaining evening, I can guarantee it. Let's take a look at some of the other showbiz news, shall we? Yesterday was the day in court for lovely Miss Paris Hilton. She made her plea bargain with prosecutors about her drunk driving arrest last September after she blew a .08. She told the cops, by the way, that she just had one margarita.
Well, yeah. She's skinny and all.
But she hadn't eaten all day. So there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, she made a plea bargain, and she was fined $390, sentenced to 3 years probation. But she was told she could reduce her probation by a year if she'd do 40 hours of community service. What are the odds of that happening?
Only zero.
None. You see her in a jumpsuit picking up garbage off the 101?
But that's not what's going to hurt. What's going to hurt is the $360 fine.
I know. Where's she going to come up with that?
How's she going to do that?
More legal news. Girl gone wild mogul Joe Francis picked up his sentence yesterday. He's going to have to pony up $500,000 and 2 years probation and 200 hours of community service.
Wow.
Because he didn't get the ages of a couple drunken underage co-eds he filmed in Florida doing some sexually explicit stuff during spring break. So he's got to pay the price for that.
Let that slide a little bit. Come on.
It is spring break.
It's not right, man.
Or you'd be up in his grill. Come on.
If you're tired of smelling like Jennifer Lopez, Britney Spears, or Celine Dion, good news. Today's the day that Gene Simmons' line of Kiss perfume at stores.
Wow.
Gene says it's an upscale line of elegant perfume for the ladies.
Sure.
Gene, what is this all about your perfume? What's the scent, really?
Yeah, it's really mostly salmon and tube steak.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
My two favorite scents. Smells lovely. FoxNews.com says it's just one of the many new products introduced by celebrities on the market this month. The influx continues. Jon Bon Jovi's releasing a line of baby clothes.
Excellent, because when you think Bon Jovi, baby clothes.
Dude. He's a cowboy on a steel horse he rides.
Yes.
His clothes are wanted. Dead or alive. Yeah. Jackie Chan has an organic skincare line he's releasing.
Skincare?
Yeah. Dude, you can't do all those stunts unless your skin is supple.
It's funny you should mention that Gene Simmons has some facial skincare.
Do you really,
products.
Gene?
At least may have brought up for you the facial cream.
Really not surprised.
Protein base.
Charlie Sheen has a line of children's clothing as well. And the Donald Trump, is releasing Trump Vodka.
Well, at least there's a tie in there.
So you can drink while you're watching The Apprentice. And here's my favorite story of the day by far. Lipstick.com, entertainment news website, interviewed Misha Barton recently. And was asked by reporters if she had been surprised at the show's demise when they heard it was going to be taken off the air. And she said, no, they killed me off.
Oh, really?
And then they followed up with the question, do you think that was the main reason people watched The OC was to watch her character, Marissa? And she answered, well, I think that's what they discovered.
Oh. Wow. Wow, is that ugly.
Well, way to support your co-workers.
Wow, is that misguided?
Yeah, no kidding.
How happy are they to be rid of her?
Yeah.
Dude, they're off the air.
Those few of us that were still watching The OC were so happy when she got killed. She has no idea how much we wanted that to happen.
I know.
You have your head up your ass.
Not according to her.
Wow. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Richard Dean Anderson. MacGyver celebrates his 57th birthday today. He's going to make a cake out of a sweat sock, a yo-yo, some lighter fluid, and a bandana.
Wow.
Make a birthday cake out of that. Robin Zander, guitarist for legendary band Cheap Trick, is 55 years old today. Mariska Hargitay, who of course plays Detective Olivia Benson on Law & Order SVU. She's 43 years old today. And Tiffany Thiessen.
Oh.
You know her from Beverly Hills 90210. And Saved by the Bell, of course. Psycho Mike's favorite show of all time. What was her character's name on that, Psycho?
That was Kelly Kapowski.
Kelly Kapowski, that's right. But I remember her most fondly from the smash hit Fastlane.
What were the two lead actors?
Glerk and Narb.
Glerk and Narb. That's right. Names. That doesn't sound right. Right.
Glerk, what are we doing? I don't know, Narb. There are two guys who lived on the edge. Click and Glerv. Tiffany's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm sure you have seen Pimp My Ride, where they take a crappy car and they take it in, the guys at Gas, Galpin Autosports, and they completely redo it, and they put in TV screens and all kinds of extras and, you know, fancy interior stereos.
Yeah, they do stuff you could never even think of.
Well, I think we're feeling a little bit generous these days, because normally we're all about ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, really 100% selfish. But one of our favorite things to do is to keep a running list of good band names. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because we're hoping to get the band together again, you know, one of these days.
One day we may need a name for ourselves.
Right.
We just have a list at the ready, right?
So we keep a list of band names, and we know that there are a lot of people in Southern California who have bands. You're in a band. Well, one of the most important things is what the name of the band is. Let's be honest. If you have a crappy band name, people aren't going to pay attention to you no matter how good your music is.
Right.
So we have a list of band names we're willing to part with if you need them. So if you have a band and you'd like to call up now at 1-800-520-1067, we will pimp your band name. Now, you might have a great band name, and we're just going to say, go with God. Be free. Good work. That's a great band name. But if it's not quite good enough, we'll give you an upgrade.
You know, it's so funny because there are, you're absolutely right. This is a problem that almost every band has a problem with at the beginning. To take just one example that we play here on K-Rock sometimes, Fall Out Boy. That's a group that was out doing shows and didn't even have a name. They had talked about a million names. They couldn't come up with one, and somebody yelled out something about Fall Out Boy, the character from The Simpsons, and it just stuck. That's how they found their band name. I don't know how happy they are with it now, but at the time they said, all right, we'll just take it because we got nothing else. Right. If this service had existed back when Fall Out Boy was getting together and starting to do gigs, they could have called in. We could have given them a first-class A-plus band name from the get-go instead of waiting to luck into something.
We have like 2 pages worth of band names, and we are willing to part with some of them. So 1-800-520-1067. You call, and we're going to pimp your band name.
Are you ready to pimp your band name?
Your band name's not good enough, and you can't get people to your shows.
Oh, no.
This is why you're calling Kevin and Bean, because they know how it goes.
They do.
The Pickle Sticks, the Pillow Biters, and O.J. Simpson was framed. These are just a few suggestions as Kevin and Bean pimp your band name.
I think our producer Lightning is on meth. But anyway, let's go ahead and take some phone calls and just see if they're good enough. And if they are, we're going to wish you well. Mike in Los Angeles, good morning.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
What's your band name?
Digging to China.
Digging to China.
I like it.
That's pretty good.
I actually do too.
I got no problem with Digging to China. You guys just keep doing what you're doing.
Actually, I just made it up because I wanted to get a name from y'all because I'm sending my CD to y'all for the local show.
Oh, I see. But Digging to China is a good name, we're telling you.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, dude.
Well, All right, I'll send you my...
That's a good one. Listen, we're telling you that's a good name. Thank you for calling.
Mike's disappointed.
You're like, wait a minute, I want a name.
Mike brings up an excellent point because, you know, we do have that local music show that Kat hosts here at K-Rock, and maybe you're in a position like he is where you got a band, you're getting ready to send it in, you're just thinking, you know what, my band is never going to stand out with this crappy name, so I need something catchy. That's boom. You call us and come to us.
All right, let's go to Gavin and El Segundo. Good morning.
Hey.
Hi there. What's your band name?
Backing Wisconsin.
Oh. Backing Wisconsin.
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, that's that's got to go.
What does that mean?
One time my wife and I were driving, and we were playing that license plate game.
Yeah.
And I was in mid-sentence, and I saw a license plate, and I was like, blah, 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 backing Wisconsin.
And you thought, like, wow, that's perfect.
Yep.
Yeah, you were wrong.
Yeah.
That's a really bad name.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Backing Wisconsin ends today, Gavin. What do we have? We got a wheel or something with new names, or how does it work?
Still a little anemic, but it's all we have. All right. Backing Wisconsin is gone. We're going to pimp your band name up to Boner Rigamortis.
Yay!
Your band is now Boner Rigamortis.
Yeah. All right.
That's way better.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Congratulations, Gavin.
Thanks.
All right. Let's do one more, and then we are going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and get some more. Blue in Whittier. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Tell us. What's your band name?
All right. Well, right now it's Seek to Exist.
Cease to Exist.
That's a little depressing.
Yeah, but I mean, depending on what kind of music you play, that could be just right for you. What are you guys doing? Are you grindcore or something?
Hardcore.
What do you think, Mike? Cease to Exist seems to me like it kind of fits in. What do you think?
Too bland, too generic nowadays.
Is it?
Like every other hardcore band.
Yeah, there are a lot with that name.
Yeah, it needs a little pimping.
It does. It needs to be pimped. Here we go.
Okay.
Time to pimp your band name. Cease to Exist will now cease to exist. And
it's hardcore, remember, so we got to be careful what we pick here.
Fire Hose of Vomit.
Oh, yes.
Right? That's a great name,
Blue. That's a great name.
The Fire Hose of Vomit.
Fire Hose of Vomit.
Yes.
You know, oddly, that was my choice.
Well, there you go. Congratulations. You got your band name pimped. Thank you. All right. We'll take some more calls at 1-800-520-1067 in just a minute. We are pimping right now.
What would we have done with Sublime if they had called? If they had called early in the days of the band and said, hey, we're thinking of calling the band Sublime. What do you think?
It's hard to say now because Sublime is such a great, you know, staple of of a band. Now it sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sublime then probably would have sounded a little weak, but you put their good music with it. See, what we're trying to explain to people is your band probably sucks. So since you don't have music like Sublime, you're going to need a name that catches people's attention. I mean, that's the whole point. So it's time to pimp your band name.
Are you ready to pimp your band name?
Band name's not good enough, and you can't get people to your shows.
Oh, no.
This is why you're calling Kevin and Bean, because they know how it goes.
They do.
The Pickle Sticks, the Pillow Biters, and O.J. Simpson was framed. These are just a few suggestions as Kevin and Bean pimp your band name.
I don't know why, but it cracks us up. We have an ongoing list of things that would be good band names. We've got like 2 pages of them, like 200 band names. And until we get our band back together, we have no use for them. So we are willing to share.
Yes.
Let's start with Robert and LaPuente because this is exactly what I'm talking about. I don't care if his freaking band is Tool, all right? No one's going to listen to him with this stupid band name. And Robert desperately needs his band name to be pimped. Robert, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello, Robert.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Robert has more problems than just his band name.
What's your band name?
We're called Pwn Stars.
What?
Pwn Stars.
Oh, God.
PWN.
Pwn Stars?
Yeah, PWN.
Horrible.
Why?
It's a gamer term for, like, when you totally dominate everything, it's called Pwn.
Yeah,
right. But it's a horrible band name. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't pop. No one wants to see a band with that name.
You're going
to
spend your entire life explaining what it means and how to spell it.
Well, not if I want to play a gamer gig.
Okay, you enjoy that gig. Thanks for calling. He's not open to a gig.
You don't want
to
help him.
He's not open to being pimped. We're going to move on. Sorry.
Okay.
Wow.
He's fine with it.
Being pimped more than anyone in the world.
He's fine with it. He was all good. Hey, don't just say bad things about my band name. All right.
It's a horrible name.
You enjoy PWN. Stars. Shane in Redlands, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Shane.
We're pimping your band name.
Hi, my band name is Just Venting, and I do have to explain a lot.
Just Venting.
Yeah,
don't bother explaining, Shane. It's not going to stand the test of time, my friend. You gotta get rid of it. You gotta let us pimp it out.
What kind of music do you play?
We play a lot of punk.
Punk, okay. Spin the punk wheel.
You're going to be much happier with this instead of just venting.
All right, your new name is Knock Knock Whores There. Knock Knock Whores There. Congratulations, Shane.
You've been pimped.
Okay. Let's move on to...
See, now, I would go see that band if I were driving down the street and I saw, you know, up on the Roxy, they Knock Knock Whores There. I'd go, yeah, I want to check that out.
Shane in Burbank, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi there, what's your band name?
My band name's Wasted Days.
Okay.
I don't know, that's not bad.
I think it's kind of clever.
Days with a D? I mean with a Z?
With a Z, yeah.
With a Z? Wasted Days.
We're a reggae group.
Oh, well,
reggae.
If you're reggae and you don't have Wasted in the title, you might as well quit.
I think I'm going to allow Shane. I think for a reggae band, Wasted Days is okay.
Yeah. But what we're going to suggest is stop playing reggae. Okay, thanks for calling. Let's go to Dominic, who is calling from Monrovia. Good morning, Dominic.
What's up, Kevin and Bean?
We are pimping your band name. What's yours?
My band name is Domestic Fury.
No. Domestic Fury is...
It's okay.
It's okay. What kind of music? Is it hard?
We play punk and we play reggae that you just bagged on.
Punk and reggae.
Yeah. I don't know, guys. To me, I think it needs pimping.
All right.
Okay. Mike, what do you think? You're the band, man. What do you think?
I love it. Thanks, guys. That's been in the world.
Time to pimp.
I think he said he loves it. It's the best name in the world, and he's hanging up. I don't think people understand the concept here.
You call us because you need your band name pimped. You're not satisfied with it.
If you're thrilled with your band name, don't call. See, that's how it works. We're willing to offer up the names that we've been keeping for a long time. We're willing to share, but if you already like what you have, why call? Chris in Southgate, good morning.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hi there.
Hey, Chris.
What's your band name?
Schism.
Schism.
Yeah.
Hmm. What kind of music?
Punk.
Punk. Yeah. Do you mind if we just try it and see? Spin the wheel. All right, your new band name is Semen Frosted Brownies. Semen Frosted Brownies.
It would get more attention, that's for sure.
What do you think, Chris?
That's cool.
All right. All right, let's talk to Adrian, who doesn't even have a band name. Adrian,
right.
In North Hills, how long has your band been together?
About 2 months.
2 months.
But also, we do have two band names we're thinking about, but we're not sure about them yet.
Okay.
Well, what are your suggestions?
Topless Girls.
Topless Girls.
Or Free Beer.
Well, I'm telling you what, you bring people in with both on the marquee, I'll tell you that.
If that's what you're imagining.
Free beer at 7 o'clock, how cool is that?
Well, that's fine as long as you're giving away free beer, but if you put free beer out on the you know, sign and people come in looking for free beer, you're going to have a riot every night. I mean, you know.
You're right.
Let me make just a couple other suggestions. What kind of music do you play?
It's metal. ADD metal.
All right. Vietnamese canine goulash. Either that or the one right next to it is uppity retards. You can pick either one.
Uppity
retards
it is.
Uppity
retards.
Yes.
You've been pimped.
Ralph, what is the President's State of the Union address going to do to my American Idol tonight? Is it going to screw up the times or what?
I don't think so because it's 6 o'clock out here on the West Coast, right?
Unless it goes till, 10?
No, it's a pretty set time thing. It's usually half an hour or something. It's a quick
so thing. It'll only screw up the East Coast people then, so we're cool.
I'm guessing it'll knock them back about a half an hour, yeah.
Fantastic. The man who started the Apple Corporation, maybe you've heard of it, Steve Wozniak, joins us just after the news at the top of the hour. In the meantime, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, and today is the day for the 79th Annual Academy Award nominations. Ralph, what do you think?
I think you're right. It is the day for that. Oscars will be given out on February the 25th this year, and they've just announced who is nominated to win the awards. A lot of surprises for people. Probably the biggest one is that the peppy musical Dreamgirls, which was a frontrunner, considered by many to be a sure thing to win the Best Picture this year, was not nominated for Best Motion Picture this year.
So it's really going to be difficult.
It's a real dark horse now.
Okay. All right.
After it won for Golden Globes, right, for Best Musical or Comedy, and now it didn't even get a nomination here. Wow.
That's right. It is leading all of the Oscars, however, with 8 nominations, but not one of those is not Best Motion Picture. Babel's right behind it with 7 nominations. Other big shockers, Brad Pitt not nominated for Babel. People thought he was a shoo-in to be nominated for his performance in that film. No nomination for Sacha Baron Cohen for Best Actor. Which is very sad. No nomination for Jack Nicholson for Departed for Best Supporting Actor, which people thought was a lock.
Wow.
No nomination for Leonardo DiCaprio for Departed. However, he was nominated for Blood Diamond. And many people surprised by the Best Supporting Actress category. Abigail Breslin, little girl from Little Miss Sunshine, nominated for an award.
Oh, she was so great. If you haven't seen that movie, please do. That's a great movie.
As was Jennifer Hudson for Dreamgirls.
Oh, okay.
So from American Idol loser to Golden Globe winner to Academy Award nominee.
Pretty amazing year.
Not bad.
That's her career trajectory.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she better line up some more fat girl work soon.
No kidding.
Take advantage of all this. Here's your nominations. Performance by an actor in a leading role. Leonardo DiCaprio, as I mentioned, for Blood Diamond. Ryan Gosling for Half Nelson. Peter O'Toole, who's getting raves for his role in the movie Venus. Will Smith, Pursuit of Happiness. And Forrest Whitaker, The Last King of Scotland. Performance by an actor in a supporting role. Alan Arkin for Little Miss Sunshine. He's freaking awesome in that movie.
Oh, he was good.
Jackie Earl Haley, who started his career in The Bad News Bears. He's all grown up, and he's got a nomination for his role in Little Children. Jamin Hunsu for Blood Diamond, Eddie Murphy for Dreamgirls, and Mark Wahlberg for The Departed. Best performance by an actress in a leading role, Penelope Cruz, Volver, Judi Dench, Notes on a Scandal, Helen Mirren, The Queen, Meryl Streep, The Devil Wears Prada, and Kate Winslet, Little Children. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role, Adriana Barraza for Babel, Kate Blanchett for Notes on a Scandal, Abigail Breslin for Little Miss Sunshine, Jennifer Hudson, Dreamgirls, Rinko Kikuchi for Babel. Best achievement in directing, Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu for Babel, The Departed, Martin Scorsese, Letters from Iwo Jima, Clint Eastwood, The Queen, Stephen Frears, and United 93, Paul Greengrass, the best director nominations. Best animated feature film, Cars, Happy Feet, or Monster House will win this year.
Okay.
And Best Motion Picture this year, Babel, The Departed, Letters from Iwo Jima, Little Miss Sunshine, and The Queen are your nominees for the 79th annual Oscars.
You know who's remarkable on that list, Ralph, and I know you're a big fan as well, is Kate Winslet. She's what? She's 31 years old, I think. This is her fifth Oscar nomination.
She's freaking insane.
How shocking. I mean, at 31, to be nominated for five Oscars already, it just shows you what a great actor she is.
But she has never won, hack. Loser. That's the way I look at it.
If the Queen wins, are they going to send cameras over to Buckingham Palace? Or how is she going to attend?
It's, Kevin, no.
How does that
it's an actress playing the Queen. Nice, fat panda. Anna Nicole Smith, today is the deadline for the DNA test required by the Los Angeles Superior Court judge in order to prove who is the father of her little baby, Daniel Lynn.
Awesome.
However, her lawyers are fighting furiously to halt the test.
I wonder why.
She has nothing to hide, Lisa.
I know.
Oh, wait a minute.
Why doesn't she just do it?
Just
then,
do it.
Then why would her lawyers be arguing in court saying that a Los Angeles Superior Court did order the DNA test? But the lawyers are saying it's not binding until a Bahamian judge gives it the stamp of approval. So they're saying because she was in the Bahamas at the time that the ruling was passed down, a Bahamian judge has to say, yes, I agree with that ruling. She has to follow through on it.
Okay. So is that likely?
There's no jurisdiction in the Bahamas where she was by a L.A. judge's
That's why
order.
She went there.
Like, exactly. Yeah. They're also stating the DNA lab that was hired to do the test can't administer the test because its technicians don't have work permits to work in the Bahamas. So they're not credible to take the DNA and to do the test.
Where did she have the... Where was the baby conceived?
Oh, she knows, Lisa. Yeah, she has a clue in a million years who the father of that baby
is. Backseat of some car, I'm guessing.
Whoever had $20, that's who the dad is.
Where it was conceived.
What
in the vagina,
country?
You're right, Kevin.
Just saying.
She has nothing to hide, though.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No.
Anna Nicole Smith, nothing to hide, so no worries.
I know nothing about nothing.
That's true.
This is a great story. This comes from Fox News, I think, did this. It's CareerBuilder.com. You know the website where you put up your resume and they help you find a new job and stuff? They said let people feel bad about the fact that they have dead-end jobs with no chance of advancement.
Right.
They have these horrible, menial tasks to perform every day, day in and day out, and they think their lives are over.
Right.
So they give you a list of famous people who had these kind of crappy jobs to show you that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, right? So
you can move on from whatever this is.
Madonna, for instance, once ran the counter at Dunkin' Donuts. That was one of her jobs.
Okay.
Look at her now. Crappy jobs, famous people. Rob Schneider, before he became a regular on Saturday Night Live, was working at Farrell's Ice Cream as a dishwasher.
And will be again, by the way.
And he's hoping. He's wishing Farrell's was still open. Jason Lee, my name is Earl.
Sure.
Worked at a Taco Bell in Huntington Beach.
No kidding.
That was his job. Sharon Stone started her career at a drive-thru at McDonald's. Danny DeVito is a licensed hairstylist and worked at his sister's salon in New Jersey. He used to cut hair for a living.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
How could he reach anyone's hair?
He was on a stool.
Dead-end jobs with no hope.
On stilts.
People went on to become famous. And it says here, Jimmy Kimmel worked on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst.
But he was able to overcome it. Yeah. So,
if he can do that, anyone can.
There's hope, people.
He doesn't even put us on his resume, by the way, Jimmy. No. Let's face it.
No, he hides it. Hides it.
Wouldn't you?
Yes, I try, but that's all I got. I just want to give people a heads up. If you're interested to see the Vagina Monologues, it's being performed March 3rd and March 4th at the Hermosa Beach Playhouse. All the proceeds are going to help the Family Crisis Center, the 1736 Family Crisis Center. And it's, according to this little flyer that I got,
stars
a woman named Lisa May.
Oh. And a woman named Kat Corbett.
Ah! Well, there you go. All-star cast, it says here, includes K-Rock radio personality Lisa May. Get an autograph from Lisa May.
Is that what it says on there?
Wow.
Oh, I don't think I've agreed to do that.
Wow. Well, people are going to storm the theater. You get an autograph from Lisa May.
I think we're still negotiating.
I hope they're going to pay you a boatload of money for that.
I see Lisa May just sitting at a card table in the lobby, just whistling.
Is anybody here yet?
Will there be slides or photographs, or will you just be talking about your vagina?
Well, I mean, we'll be on stage, so our vaginas will be there.
The big closing
in the room.
The big closing number that they all sing along with is
vagina, 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 vagina.
Wow.
They're learning the lyrics.
They
now.
Do a big kick line and everything, like the Rockettes.
Yeah. Oh, it's huge.
Big production number. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tiffany Thiessen.
Oh.
Wonder why she dropped the Amber.
At least I don't know.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Yeah.
She's 33 years old today. Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order SUV. They drive around in a big vehicles, fighting crime.
No.
Big
no.
gas guzzler.
It's not the vehicle. It's
like an Escalade or something.
SVU, Ralph. It's a different show.
She's 43 years old today. Richard Dean Anderson, you know him as MacGyver. He is 57 years old today. And Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Laura Schlesinger.
How old is she?
She's 60 years old today, Lisa.
Wow.
Damn.
She's a dried up old hose bag.
Yep.
She is.
But she's her baby's mama, or whatever the F she says on that show.
She just yells at people.
Yes, that's all she does. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This being speaking, I read about 2 books a year. I love books. Wish I had more time to read books. Generally don't, but it takes a lot to get me to turn off the TV, as you know, Kevin. But yesterday, I did just that and sat down and read almost all of our next guest's book. It is called I Was, Computer Geek to Cult Icon, written by Steve Wozniak, the co-founder of Apple Computers, and he is on the line right now. Good morning, Mr. Wozniak. Thanks for joining us on K-Rock.
Hi, good to be here. The only thing I shortened in the book was all my prank stories.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad.
You wrote a book. You sat down and wrote a book after all these years, after all that has written about you. You finally decided to sit down and put one in your own words. Why now?
Well, I actually accepted contracts to write the book like 20 years ago, but then I had no time to do it, so I'd return the money. And finally, this time it got done.
Was there just something that you wanted to set the record straight? You just wanted to get your story out? You were tired of people asking you how it all began now that Apple has become what it is? I mean, was it just to answer all those questions?
For 20 years, I really wanted to get the story out about what really led up to the personal computer invention. What were the people like that were doing it? What were their motivations? What were their histories? What kind of things had they learned to develop the skills? I wanted to get that whole story out because it never comes through correctly. We read all these books and it's, business dealing here and such and such an executive, tries to market this product with such and such a way, and it doesn't go for a while. I could care less about that.
So Steve Jobs was the business side of it, and you were the computer brains side of creating Apple.
Well, when we started, actually, I just developed the computers and gave them away for free until Steve came along and said, let's sell a PC board. And then later, we got an order from a local computer company for fully built computers. So we didn't even try to start a computer company. It sort of happened.
What possessed you to build a computer and give it away?
All my life. My entire life from about 10 years old on had been, I was going to work with computers even though I'd never have a job doing it. I didn't foresee engineers doing that sort of thing.
Right.
I told my dad at the end of high school I was going to own a computer someday, and he said it costs as much as a house. I said, I'm going to live in an apartment. I'm going to have one. And then I ran into groups of people that discovered that the components, the chips computers are made out of, had finally come down in price enough that it was possible, but they didn't see the formula to getting to a complete affordable computer.
this is what's fascinating about the book, Stephen. As I mentioned, I read it last night, and you do a wonderful job of taking it step by step. And it, looking at it with 21st century eyes, it's almost hard to imagine a world like the one that you live through and write about in the book. Like you said, you made copies of all of your schematics, all of your plans, and would give them out to anybody who would take them on how your computer was built. And then you talk about in the book, and this is just so unbelievable to me, that you're working for Hewlett-Packard at the time making calculators, and you went to them, it sounded like, not once or twice, but at least three separate times, and said, look, I think I've got something with this personal computer. Why doesn't Hewlett-Packard make it and put it out? And they said what to you, Steve?
I loved my company. I wanted Hewlett-Packard to make this product. I actually had five turndowns, maybe three are in the book, and they just said there were a lot of good reasons that it wasn't going to be right as a Hewlett-Packard product. Hewlett-Packard in those days didn't make what they make now. They made the products that engineers use to design other products,
right.
Tools like oscilloscopes and frequency generators and that sort of stuff. So they were, so they would have done it wrong. And actually, when they did start their own project, they did it wrong. It wasn't the one that was going to inspire the whole world with a fanciful machine.
Do you ever call them back, the people who, the individuals who made those decisions, and say, ha-ha?
No, never.
Nothing like
I run
that?
Into them, and all I tell them is, I loved Hewlett-Packard so much, I wanted Hewlett-Packard to do it. And they just sort of say, you know, Bill Hewlett himself once said, win some, lose some.
Wow.
Not really for us.
That's a pretty big lose some.
Yeah, no kidding. And what's remarkable, Steve, and again, I was too young at the time to appreciate what the work is you guys were doing, but I mean, back before you invented the personal computer, which is just a stunning statement to be able to say, computers didn't have keyboards and they didn't have screens. I mean, that was your idea, was to kind of put that together so you could type something and have it show up on a screen, right?
Right. And computers, it was possible to purchase at a much higher price than anyone could pay in a home.
Right.
Input and output devices, like a teletype, was a big, clunky mechanical machine you could type on, but no one could ever afford it. And there were some video screens, but they were for the people who have the luxury of all the money in the world, the
right.
big companies and certain universities and, you know, military. So they were designed where you had a computer with the front panel of the geeky switches and lights that nobody understands except a computer
right.
expert who knows where every wire and every bus goes. And then you could add on something you could type on. I just thought of just build the whole thing as one unit, the way our calculators at Hewlett-Packard work. You just have one, you turn it on, and there's one keyboard that works.
Was there a moment when you realized, hey, I'm actually onto something that's going to revolutionize the world instead of I'm going to be on the outside kind of working in my own little space, my own little world?
Very close. The night that I finally got my idea for building a computer that was so different than everyone else's working, to where I was typing on a keyboard I had bought for $60 and looking at the letters on my own home TV, which was free, I thought, not that I had really designed something that changed the world, but that I had enough of a machine that from there I was able to take it to the computer I'd wanted my whole life.
Right.
And I was going to be able to, you know, develop a programming language on it and all that stuff.
Now, Steve, one of the myths that you address in the book that I think a lot of people listening have probably always believed is that you at some point quit Apple, and you never did. You've been a constant, nonstop employee of Apple every single day since you founded the company, right?
And I've been loyal to Apple. I've been under an employment contract, and there were stories that accidentally got printed that made it sound like, oh, I was leaving in disgust, when I even told the reporter, no, I'm just leaving to start a new startup company, and I'll still be an Apple employee, and Apple wished me well in all those cases. It just gets, the history kind of gets things wrong if you get in a big national publication
right.
like the Wall Street Journal. Every book copies that story from then on. No.
Yep. That's why it's
never
good.
Had a
that's
fight
why it's
with Steve Jobs either.
Oh, that's really? Why it's good that you sat down and wrote this book, too, because, you're going to be gone one day and people are just going to be relying on what other people have said about it. Now, when you left, my understanding is when you stopped working day to day at Apple's because the company had gotten so big, you didn't really feel like you had the same role in it that you liked. You loved the startup. You loved being the scrappy underdog. And you went off to invent the universal TV remote, right?
That's right. The first one. And it was a great project, too.
Your IQ was over 200 in sixth grade, right?
I think they measure you even earlier in sixth grade, like in elementary school. But my parents tell me that now, and I think that they must have accidentally given me part of the IQ test twice.
You must have been
more time.
You must have been bored out of your mind in school, though. I mean, I can't imagine anything in school was challenging to you.
Wrong. That's... I actually thought my school teachers were smart about all the subjects, and I actually enjoyed my school, and I appreciated it. But when I went home, I was a book learner. I was real independent, and I just felt, as good as the book is, I'll learn everything in it.
Okay.
Steve, I always think about you in the same terms as Paul Allen, who maybe you consider a contemporary or a colleague. He kind of did some of the same stuff you did for the Microsoft Corporation, and he was also a big geek and a big sci-fi geek. And I kept thinking as I was reading the book about, you racing home from your Hewlett-Packard job to, you know, eat a TV dinner and watch Star Trek every night. I wondered if you took advantage of some of the money you made when Apple went big and went out and bought memorabilia and did stuff like that with it, like Paul Allen did.
No, actually not. Although I just started, I never wanted money, so I tried to give it away to the right sort of good people working on museums in San Jose, and put my trust in them.
I'm a good person. Yeah. I want money. I'm a good
festivals. I was on K Rock when we were promoting the US festivals back in '82 and '83.
Is that right? You were promoting the US festival.
Yeah, and if we do another US festival this year, I might be on K-Rock again.
How about
that? Well, the US festival, a lot of people in Southern California have, great memories of going to those things in '82, '83. I mean, they were the Woodstock West. I remember when it happened, it was huge. But nothing ever was, did you guys record those shows? It doesn't seem like they ever put out albums or DVDs or anything. Where is all that material, Steve?
I didn't come from the music business, and I was a poor negotiator and didn't have the rights. They actually, there's some guy that sells them online. But we had all we had all the good quality video, we only had the rights to two songs for each one for one Showtime special. I mean, it's like nobody really wanted to give except for us. Except
right.
Yeah, and you're the way, and Steve's the guy who put the money up. I mean, it was his, millions and millions of dollars to put on the festival. And you had everybody. You had the Police and the Clash and Boingo and the Pretenders and all the great stuff that K-Rock was playing back in the early 80s. I mean, it must have been some of the greatest days of your life being able to do that.
And yeah, we really built the an outside amphitheater out there in DeVore.
I want to change the subject just for a second because I know we're running out of time. From Wired Magazine did a profile on you, and I just want to find out if these things are accurate. There are three things that I find very funny that you did when you were younger. One is you built a fake bomb in high school, and they evacuated, and they said you need psychological help. Two is you almost woke up the Pope by calling the Vatican. You almost actually got to him. Mm-hmm. And three is that you met your first wife when she called your dial-a-joke service. All true?
All those are true. Oh, yeah. the one about fake bomb is a little bit overrated, but...
It said it was ticking and the whole deal.
Well, I was just putting it in a friend's locker to try to scare a friend. The fact that the principal found it and clutched it to his chest and ran out to the football field and dismantled it. And the story made me laugh because I put a thing in the locker, so as soon as you opened the locker, the ticking sped up.
Oh, nice. You should do that these days. You'd get a much stronger response.
Yeah, I don't think so. Hey, all of those stories are in the book. It is a fascinating read. I mean, it really is. You talk about being a fly on the wall. I mean, we don't have any more time to go into it here with Mr. Wozniak, but I mean, just to imagine there was a time, Kevin, before you could plug a phone into the wall. I mean, everything was hardwired. There really wasn't such thing as software back then. If you wanted to make a video game, you had to hardwire it into the computer. I mean, it's just, it's so unbelievable how far we've come since those days. But the book is out now. It is called I Was, Computer Geek to Cult Icon, author Steve Wozniak on the phone with us. And if you get that new rock festival planned, another US festival, come on back, Steve. We'll spend some more time with you, my friend.
Thanks a lot. It's in the planning. I can't talk about it. And I really, in the book, wanted to show that little before phase, what things were like and how they changed.
Fantastic. Steve, thanks a lot for being on the show today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Bye now.
By the way, we have an intern program here at K-Rock. We don't talk about it very much, but most days we do have a college intern who's in working on the Kevin and Bean Show, learning absolutely nothing, getting up at the crack of ass, but at least they're getting college credit for it. And I guess this is a plea because we're looking for a new batch, right?
We do need new interns, and I think the problem is that we're bad at picking interns because we haven't had a banner crop.
Well, they're either really, really great or substantially awful.
Unbelievably bad.
Some of it is your fault, Kevin. You do sometimes pick for comedy.
I do always pick for comedy.
That's I don't know what you said.
Assistant producer Alex is here. She's the person who deals with the interns. You have some things that interns have said to you?
That people actually put on their resume. And okay. I just want to tell people, you don't have to tell us this stuff.
Okay.
You don't have to tell me that you can lift 50 plus pounds. I need to know that you can lift a bag of, macho combo burritos at 7 a.m. for lightning.
That's it.
Don't tell me that you would die to work here, but you're special and you need to get paid. It's an unpaid internship.
Can't do that. Sorry, it's unpaid.
I need to know that you'll take old K-Rock t-shirts.
Okay.
Don't tell me that you're old. This is actually a school internship and we already have Doc. So
true. Right. We've got that covered.
Yeah. And when you're on the phone with me asking me about the internship, don't ask me if I've heard the Howard Stern show and are we like that. I need to know you've actually heard our show.
It is funny that people will try to be our intern and have no idea what we're talking about. Remember, who was it that sat down and kept talking to me and I would say...
Oh, Dum Dum, Danielle.
Dum Dum. Yeah. She was talking to me and she would talk about Kevin and Bean and I would say... I'm Kevin. You could just say to me, and she did. She didn't get it. She just kept talking to me about
She's
this
the
guy,
one
Kevin,
who also thought Bob Marley was still alive.
That's true. That
and then
true.
You told her you got the job. See you tomorrow at 5. And she says, "In the morning." Dumb whore.
And don't work here if you want a degrading or if you don't want a degrading nickname.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you don't like Gigantor, Creepy Wonder, Osama Mama, Boobs, Lispy. Yeah. Napalm, Gouda,
Napalm.
Cricket.
That is what you're going to get. Psycho Mike is not a huge fan of our intern program.
Listen, there's been some great ones,
yes.
okay, since I've worked here. Kasia, Kara, Kari, Napalm, Lispy, Gouda, all great guys, women. But the majority of them, most worthless lot of assholes I've ever met in my entire life. I hate you all. Let me give you a little list of things you don't do before I... Oh, man, do I hate our interns for the most part.
Okay.
Don't wear sunglasses indoors,
well,
period,
that was...
Okay?
See, I hired him because he wore sunglasses.
Only two types of people's... Yeah. Well, two types of people wear sunglasses indoors, and it's blind people and douchebags. And I... Oh, man, was Creepy Wonder a douchebag?
Yeah,
I hate
was.
That. He was the guy that, bastard.
He was the guy that did not want to touch Lisa's boob.
Yeah,
he and had the most undeserved no. sense of confidence in the yeah. world. He was... Oh, what a piece
that
of
That was
crap.
My bad. I hired him for comedy.
Dress according to size.
Okay.
Okay. Oh. These girls come in here, plump women, and the hip hugger jeans. Their jeans are pressing in the fat like a guy with an afro wearing a headband, where it would compact just around the headband, and then just flopping muffin top coming over the top.
Not even a muffin top. You called her a bunt.
That's not a problem exclusive to intern programs. That's
no,
a nationwide epidemic right
that's
now.
That's for everyone.
You know that, Mike.
And if you're going to be the girl who's overwhelmingly fat and wears tight clothing, make sure not to detail your sex life to us every single day, because that's just great. We yeah. want to hear about your sex life.
She would start off sentences with, "Hello, so this guy has sex with?" I was like, I can't take this at 5 a.m.
Females wax and shave. And I don't mean just your privates. Everything. This one girl was kind of pretty, but her body was like a goddamn chupacabra. She looked like her arms had a chinchilla pelt on them.
She was wearing fur.
Yeah.
Of course, I got to talk about bathe and invest in some deodorant or other ointments that make you smell good.
And wash
sure.
your clothes regularly.
Yeah,
is that.
Okay, and you guys are thinking about the one we all know
yeah, yeah, of course.
And love. But also, let's not forget our little Drakkar-drenched Middle Eastern deviant named Puya.
Oh, Puya.
Okay? And it's not all his fault, because the majority of the food that goes in his mouth is garlicky and comes from that part of the world. But if you're going to go do that, make sure you go overboard with the mouthwash and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And tell me how much Jergens you go through on a day-to-day basis because of your masturbatory practices. Asshole.
That's right. Well, you hate Puya because you had to leave the studio when Adriana Lima came in and you had to go get food with Puya,
yeah, yeah.
who then got you a subsequent ticket from a cop.
Yeah, yeah, there was that.
And then, of course, the dumbest person of all time. The list of the stuff she did that annoyed me. And you know who you are, stupid person.
Was that the coffee girl?
Oh, make me coffee
yeah.
that's made of mud.
Yeah.
And flood the entire station with Colombian roast because you can't work the coffee machine after
yeah.
the 11th time we've shown you how.
Yeah.
She broke her jaw by walking into a wall and then
no,
she couldn't
she
come to
know.
Work.
She didn't know she broke her jaw and then she somehow made up this thing that she went into a wall. But we would get inner office emails. Like the entire station would get an email about her screwing up the coffee pot.
Right. Hey, if you're going to use the coffee pot, don't turn it upside down. So the water goes everywhere.
Hey, try
that kind
a filter.
Of stuff. Yeah. That
yeah.
kind of stuff. And
finally.
And also, don't call and say you forgot you were going to China.
I was
going to
say, finally, get all your Orient traveling out before yes. you come to the Kevin and Bean Show.
And by the way, took
you.
The job as an intern, and then just one day on the way to the airport,
yep.
out of the blue, forgot I was going to China. Sorry.
Hello, Alex. It's me. I'm going to China. I won't come into work for 4 weeks.
All right. If you want to be a Kevin and Bean intern, and God, I can't imagine you would after this.
Our people are awesome. I think it's just the kind of people we attract.
Please go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean front page. All the information is there with a link. The emails will all go to assistant producer Alex,
it's
and she'll go through them, and we'll do some interviews, and then we'll pick some more bad ones.
You do have to, this is the number one and two things people ask. You do have to be in college. Yes,
yes.
That's true. You have to be able to get credit for it. It's not enough that you're in college. You actually have to be able to get school credit for it. And no, repeating, you do not get paid. But other than that, oh, it's glorious. And
yeah.
we won't talk about you when you're gone.
No.
Did we give credit to the bad coffee maker chick? Did she get credit for that? Because we should have withheld credit.
Completed the internship. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm sure she
did.
Got school credit.
Oh, that's BS right
there.
The
only person we didn't give credit to was Creepy Wonder, who we fired on the air.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, because he deserved to be fired.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so intern program. Hey, enjoy that. KRock.com, Kevin and Bean front page. If you'd like to do it, send us an email and we'll try and hook it up.
I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to this story or not, but it seems like, it seems like last year that the godfather of soul, James Brown, died. Oh, wait, it was. Christmas Day, James Brown died at 73 years old. He is still, ladies and gentlemen, not buried.
This is the strangest story. December 25th, he died of heart failure in Atlanta. On December 30th, his body was moved to Augusta, right? And then there's this place called Beach Island where his home was, right? He's got a climate-controlled room to keep his body from decaying, I guess.
Ugh.
Now the body's gone. It's missing. His family's been fighting over it because they're not sure where they want to bury it. Some people want to set up like a Graceland-type place. Some other people are angry they got cut out of the will. But James Brown's body is no longer in the climate-controlled room, and they're not saying where he is. They don't know where James Brown's body is.
Who took it?
I don't know.
It had to be a family member,
had to
right?
be a family member, but they took it out.
But what did they do with it? If they took it out of the refrigerator, where did they put it? That it's not now decomposing.
I wish I knew. I wish I had any idea. So it's time for us to spring into action and actually try to do a little investigative reporting. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for James Brown Body Watch 2007.
James Brown, the godfather of soul, is dead. Missing. Join Kevin and Bean as they attempt to find his body in James Brown Body Watch 2007.
James Brown. All right, calling Beach Island, South Carolina.
Fantastic.
Yes, he is. Thank you. Oh, I don't need that again.
This has to be the talk of the town. I mean, this has to be. Everybody's got to be keeping their eyes peeled to find out, hey, did you see James Brown's body? No. Did you see James Brown's body? Where is it? Where do you suppose it is? I mean, can you imagine there's anything bigger in that town?
Well, no. There's never been anything bigger in that town than James Brown, I imagine. Oh, that one's not there. Dial again.
You know, I think James Brown is the kind of entertainer that they ought to build a museum and a mausoleum for, and people can visit it for the rest of time. I mean, he's that influential. He's an Elvis-like figure for many people.
Oh, I agree.
I think they should do something like that.
All right, we're calling the North Augusta Feed and Seed. Who knows?
Maybe they have
a refrigerated room there.
A thriving enterprise.
Yeah. North Augusta Feed and Seed. Seriously, sit his body up. It's starting to slouch down. That's what they're saying right now in the background.
Starting to smell.
It's in the way of customers. People are trying to buy it.
We're unable to take your call.
Because we're busy burying the godfather of soul in the backyard.
I wish they were burying him. He's not been. It's a month later. Hey, do you guys have James Brown's body? Okay, thanks. Bye.
You know, I saw that Little Miss Sunshine. It's possible that the body's going across country in a van right now.
That's true. Same with Vacation.
Yep.
Could be on the roof of a station wagon. You never know.
All right, who's next?
All right, try it again. Psycho Mike is dialing, so we're having trouble.
Who are we calling now?
We're calling Mr. Is it? Oh, that one. It's the Big H Food Store. They've got refrigeration, right?
Yeah, it sounds like they must. Yeah.
You don't mix food and corpses, guys.
He's in the milk section.
Well, you don't steal corpses either, but clearly that didn't stop someone.
James Brown's body is gone. It's missing. Well, what are you going to do, for God's sakes? Who's got it? What are their plans?
Can't you be arrested?
I would imagine, yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Big H.
Hello, is this the Big H?
This is him.
Hey, do you guys have James Brown's body?
Do we have James Brown's body?
Did you steal it?
Yes. We're trying to figure out where it could be. What's what do you hear? What do you know?
Hey, man, taking George or somewhere, man.
What's that?
What?
Checking Georgia somewhere. I don't know. It's over there somewhere.
Checking Georgia.
Yeah.
you think across state lines?
So you don't think it's in South Carolina anymore. You think it's gone. It's back in Georgia.
It was always in Georgia, as far as I knew.
You know it's a month since he died, right? Have you been following the story that his body is now missing?
Yeah, it's been about a good month. What, yeah, Christmas Day?
Yeah.
What do you think that's all about? I mean, what do you make of that?
Well, I make of what?
About the fact that his body is still above ground almost a month later. It's crazy, right?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking this should already be in the dirt.
Right. That's our point. Who doesn't get buried for a full month and then his body disappears?
His body disappears.
So you're saying if we show up to Big H and we do a surprise inspection, there's not going to be James Brown's body?
I hope not.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Now, do you have refrigeration there?
Do I have refrigeration?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got plenty of that.
Okay, so you could have him.
Have you
checked today for his body? Have you checked, sir?
I believe I did.
Okay.
Maybe you should go look again. That'd be a pretty big story if you find him.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Good luck, man. Thanks for talking to us.
Okay,
bye now.
Bye.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Maybe.
Maybe he's coming up, maybe he's not.
Bob Saget's not here? Bob Saget is here.
He's not here.
Not
as far as I know.
Okay.
But he could be here any moment.
All right.
He could be walking through the door as we speak.
All right.
Sure.
Let's talk about the Oscars, shall we? The 79th Annual Academy Awards will be airing on February 25th. Broadcast here.
Hey, Ralph.
Yes, sir.
Sorry. Stump the Yard.
He couldn't wait.
Stump the Yard came out too late, right? So it was not eligible. I should not be crestfallen that it did not receive nominations?
It did. It came out too late.
Aww.
So it'll be next year. Okay.
Yeah. Here's the nominations. Performance by an actor in a leading role. Leonardo DiCaprio got a nod for Blood Diamond, but not for Departed.
That's weird.
It's very weird. I thought he was great in Departed. He's probably good in this, too, but I'm not going to see it. Ryan Gosling, brilliant in Half Nelson. Well-deserved nomination. Peter O'Toole for Venus. Will Smith for The Pursuit of Happiness. And Forrest Whitaker, Last King of Scotland. He won the Golden Globe. Anything can happen. Best actress in a leading role. Penelope Cruz, Volver. Which means, of course, in Spanish, to volve. Judi Dench, Notes on a Scandal. Helen Mirren, odds on favorite to win the award for her performance in The Queen. Meryl Streep, The Devil Wears Prada. And Kate Winslet for Little Children. I'm surprised they didn't try to nominate Meryl for Best Supporting Actress, because she probably would have taken that award.
Yeah, good point.
Best Achievement in Directing, you've got Alejandro González Iñárritu for Babel. The Departed, Martin Scorsese, Letters from Iwo Jima, Clint Eastwood, The Queen, Stephen Frears, and United 93, Paul Greengrass. And Best Film of the Year, Babel, The Departed, Letters from Iwo Jima, Little Miss Sunshine, and The Queen. Surprising there, Little Miss Sunshine getting a nod, and Dreamgirls not being recognized, even though they did get 8 nominations for other awards. So there's your Oscars nominations recap. Sylvester Stallone, while filming the latest Rocky, decided not to have sex with his wife for the entire shoot.
Really?
Yes.
Because
he wanted to preserve his sexual energy for the athleticism of the role, my friend.
Is this one of those deals where, like, the sporting teams are not supposed to have sex the night before a big game?
Exactly, Kevin. That's exactly the mentality behind
it. So he did that for months?
Giving up sex isn't really that hard to do, and it's well known that it can improve your performance in sports. You're not in a sport. you're making a movie.
It's a movie.
You're shooting a fight scene 30 seconds at a time. You're not actually fighting 12 rounds. So that's just a lie.
Are you sure it wasn't his wife's request that they give up sex while he was making the movie?
At 60, you don't have as much energy as you did back when you were 30, so you have to conserve every bit you can.
Sounds sad.
It's counterproductive, too. Unless you're going to hump Mason Dixon in the final round, I don't think you need to worry about conserving that kind of energy.
Rocky, any thoughts for Ralph?
You're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
All right, I'm sorry, Rocky. I apologize.
Ralph, with the match coming up between you and Dave, the King of Mexico, with the fight, a fight, a Mexican and a white, are you going to be abstaining as well leading up to your big fight with him?
I am going to be having twice as much sex because I have too much energy.
Ralph believes the opposite. Yeah.
I want to be more relaxed in the ring, so I'm going to be humping on the way out of the dressing room down to the ring. That's what I'm going to be doing.
In between rounds.
Yes, exactly. Hey, instead of drink fight, we can have a
sex fight.
Frack fight, we could be calling it. Jessica Biel, she's a naughty little minx. She may have been the sweet little girl on Seventh Heaven, but oh no, my friends. According to E! Online, recently she was in a sex boutique with her boyfriend Derek Jeter, went shopping at a place called The Booty Parlor in the Hollywood Hills. And they recently spoiled themselves by buying themselves a little adult novelty.
Yes.
Derek got her a pair of remote-controlled vibrating panties.
Remote control, okay. So he can control them.
Yes, right. Wireless remote control. So she's wearing the panties. He just hits a button. Ning, ning,
ning, ning. Is that how it sounds?
Ooh! That's what you hear on the other end of it.
Ooh!
And then Jessica smiles. And I like when Jessica smiles.
So he pushes the button, and it vibrates. Then he says,
"Open your mouth, baby. Here it comes."
Right?
Yeah, that's what Derek Jeter sounds like, Kevin.
That's Derek Jeter.
I see.
It's not Derek Jeter.
Every year, the Museum of Television Radio puts on one of my favorite events. It is called the William S. Paley Television Festival. This is an opportunity to meet the creators and stars of some of your favorite TV shows, past and present. This year's lineup, I think, is the best one they've ever had. I go every year to a couple of them. I've been to the Lost one and went to the House one, and it's just a great, great evening. It's March 1st through the 15th. But here's the lineup of shows they'll be covering in that time period. American Idol, The Office,
They'll have an evening just with George Lucas talking about his career in life. Brothers and Sisters, The Closer, Dexter, Nip Tuck, Prison Break, Heroes, Ugly Betty, and Jericho, and a special celebration marking the 400th episode of The Simpsons as well.
Wow.
So any one of those would be worth going to.
Except for Brothers and Sisters.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, it's a good show.
Yeah.
If you want to get tickets, they do sell them to the public, but by the time they go on sale, they're almost sold out because museum members get first crack at this. So your best bet, if there's a TV show that you're in love with and you really want to spend the night with them, you should go to mtr.org, museumoftelevisionradio.org. Sign up as a member, then you get to buy the tickets in advance. You beat out on the rest of the crowds and you get a chance to see these people. So check it out. It's a good time. I guarantee. Remember that guy? Mm-hmm. The guarantee guy?
Sure.
Cajun chef dude?
Beat and I stayed at his house one time.
Did you really?
I think, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Breakfast at his house or something.
This show has been really good when you guys tried. You traveled places, you met with people, you did broadcast and things, you chased sheep around fields, you stayed with chefs in New Orleans.
I got news for you. That stay with the chef in New Orleans wasn't so good.
But still, it sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds better than a guy sitting in a clown house and another guy showing up barely where the show goes in the air. Just a different time, man. It's an era. You know what I'm saying, Psycho Mike?
I hear you, Dan.
All right.
We have only gotten stronger.
Today's celebrity birthday is Tiffany Thiessen. You know her from Beverly Hills 90210, Saved by the Bell.
Open your mouth, baby. Here it comes.
Fast Lane, of course. She was the star of Fast Lane. She played
one of the stars.
Slang. Fast Lane. She's 33
years
older.
Who were the guys on that show?
Click and Nerve.
That's Click and Nerve.
Those are two character names. She's 33 years old today. Mariska Hargitay is 43 years old today. 43. She looks pretty gosh darn good. She just had a baby, too. And Richard Dean Anderson, who played MacGyver on the titular show MacGyver, 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies want to make him a spouse. When it comes to downstairs, he's got a full house. He's...
Been arrested 20 times, never been convicted. If you see a badass, guaranteed he's kicked. Wow. Wanna start some fish, he'll end it quick. Like Martha Stewart with a bigger D.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Federline!
Bob Saget, Friday nights at 8 on NBC with 1 vs. 100, and The Farce of the Penguins, finally available on DVD.
It is.
One week from today.
And you should have it in your hands. It's coming out January 30th. And
We asked our producer Lightning, did we get an advance copy? Because Bob keeps telling he's going to get us one. He said, oh, yeah. They said that they were going to send it like a week ago, and I gave him your home addresses and everything, and it should be there. And we said, okay, not happening.
There was serious bonage going on. I feel bad. I would have brought some. I have 19 in the car.
Oh, for God's sake.
In the car you're in?
No, I don't. I have a red.
Well, I suggested, hey, we'd like to see the movie before Bob comes in this time.
That's
because
what
we've
I
been
thought.
Hearing a lot about it, and they said they'd work that out, but apparently that's not the case.
Well, hey, Bob, we're only up. The movie's in 8mm. I hope that's okay.
I have a clip from Farce of the Penguins.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Federline! That's a clip from my first circumcision is what that is.
Ah.
That's me. Well, you played that for me last time I called in as my sampler, because you always pick something else. One time it was the act of Unspeakable mentioning.
Sure, the actor would dare not speak his name. But this was...
This is similar to me when I hear it. I'm so self-loathing at this moment.
This is 1 vs. 100, and that's when you had Kevin Federline on the show, and you said it with such enthusiasm.
Yeah, well, how did I say it?
Well, hang on. We had the actor dare not speak his name up.
No, put up that. That's better.
This is better.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Federline!
Now, when you... Wow, that's an intro.
It's upsetting. It's upsetting.
Well,
it's
you should have downplayed it a little.
Can I tell you?
Kevin Federline.
You want to hear the truth?
Yeah.
I did not know who he was. I had seen him in the bathroom.
Don't lie to us, Bob.
I knew that she had hooked up with that guy. I knew that he wasn't the guy. And I don't read a lot of tabloid stuff. I knew that he was used in monologues of jokes as being, okay, I knew who he was. When I hear that intro.
The excitement in your voice.
What I really am hearing is the other sampling that you have.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Federline!
When I hear that, this is how I perceive that.
This is how you hear it in your head?
In my
the
own
act
head.
That dare not speak its name.
You were saying it with that enthusiasm.
Yes. I was,
similar
was
read.
Streaming across the viewers' faces as they're watching the show.
All right.
Bob, I love 1 vs. 100, first of all, by the way. I really think it's a good show. But last week I was watching, you had the 40-year-old virgin was one of the people on the mob.
Right.
And he was surrounded by some of the hottest chicks I've ever seen in my life. They were all, what, Stuff Girls or Maxim Girls or something like that?
Yeah, they had some stuff after I was done with them. I can't do the mob. That's not true. You can't do the mob.
You can do the mob?
You're not allowed to do the mob?
It's in my contract. Don't do the mob.
Oh, wow.
That's a shame because on this show, sometimes they'll we've got 12 USC cheerleaders. I mean, there's a lot of potential, you know, doing up there for you.
And then we had bikers. We had like six bikers, and this one guy picked on the wrong guy. This was off the air. We actually cut it out. I said, "What's your name?" He says, "I am a survivor." And I went, "Oh man, this is going to be a good 3 minutes." And then he gave a good speech, but we couldn't use it. It was too long a speech.
Sure.
Like, Bob, stay away from the muffler.
Bob was trying so hard to hook up this 40-year-old virgin with some of the Stuff Girls, though. I mean, he was really pimping it out, and they were having nothing to do with this guy. Was that? I mean, how do you find a guy like a 40-year-old virgin? That's how do you find somebody like that for the mob?
That's the producers, and I think they're doing what they're supposed to do. They produce these, you know, like reality shows are produced like you would have done an independent film back in the day.
Right.
So I think they're doing a good job. I actually am enjoying doing the show.
We've found people that are that old that are.
I'm envisioning how they would find somebody like that for a game show. Did they put out a casting call for 40-year-old virgins? Is that just one of the questions on the questionnaire if you show up to be part of the mob?
He's a young guy, so when I was like in my 20s, I did the dating game twice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they knew that they were taking people that were in the union, and they knew that they were actors. And so he fills out the form. They say, what talents do you have? And I'm sure he wrote down, I'm a 40-year-old virgin.
Right.
Because there was nothing else on his resume, and there were no other 40-year-old virgins around him.
And then you introduced him.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Federline!
No.
And all this guy wanted was...
back and forth, dude.
Oh, the second one. I like that one. That was my favorite.
It's too difficult to
all
go back
All he wanted
forth.
With the Maxim models
the
was...
that dare not speak its name.
I'd book Bob, that on you, the show.
you were a contestant on the dating game?
Yeah. Yeah, and that
wow.
Did you go on a date?
I won a date, and I was engaged at the time to the person that I got married to and then got divorced from, so I'm available for her now.
Okay, wait a minute.
Is that because you went on the date?
You were engaged when you went on the date on the show?
Yeah, and my girlfriend was in the audience because I'm a class act.
What's wrong with you?
Very classy.
You went on the dating game. Your fiance was in the audience.
No, I guess we were dating. I was the act that dare not speak its name.
And they picked another girl, and they said, do you want to go out on a date? And you said, absolutely.
I was one of three bachelors, and this girl picked me, and they gave us a trip to Guatemala. And there was a civil war in Guatemala, and they opened fire on people like a week later. So we decided not to go on the date.
Excellent.
And I wasn't going to go on the date anyway, because the idea was, you know, they'd had John Ritter on the show. They'd had a lot of different actors, Tom Selleck at that, you know,
right.
Before me. So it was like people that were kind of actors and kind of comedians.
But you had your girlfriend in the audience for the dating game.
It's not good.
It's just not very smart.
No, it's not smart.
Mm-mm.
But she was cool about it. She knew that I was on a television show dating someone publicly.
Sure.
And that wasn't embarrassing to her.
No, she
friends, family.
And the talking, about it 25 years later is just delightful for her.
That guy that won the date today, her mom said, is that your boyfriend?
She seemed nice.
Bob, when you were, people know the things that hit big for you. They know the TV shows and stuff that you've been on that you became famous for. But were there a lot of things like the dating game that you tried to do to get your face in front of cameras when you first started trying to make it in Hollywood?
One of the first pilots I ever did was this thing. It was called Surprise, where it really had no premise, but Harvey Korman was the host.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Okay.
So the idea is you go up to someone and surprise them. So I was a field reporter, and I don't remember what the surprise was. I'm in a card shop, and I tell somebody that I have somebody they knew 30 years ago, and we had no consolation gifts, so we gave them pencils that had the word surprise written on them.
That's the worst idea ever.
It was the worst. It was like what you do for people in the home. You know, here's a pencil.
Here's a pencil.
Yeah, that's our budget. That was how low budget we are.
All right, we need to take a break. 1 vs. 100 is on Friday nights at 8 on NBC. Farce of the Penguins is a new movie that comes out a week from today on DVD. And we're going to talk more about that in a minute.
Good.
Because the cast is unbelievable.
It's fun.
Yeah, all right.
And it's dirty.
Excellent. We'll get to that next.
Without revealing why the conversation turned to this direction, Bob Saget is suggesting that Butt-Hyman would be a good band name.
I think
you're looking for one.
A good name for, or a lawyer.
Or a lawyer, yeah.
The defense, Butt-Hyman, would you like to cross-examine? You know, you can lose on a teeter-totter. I don't know if you know that.
Is that right?
The only problem with Butt-Hyman is, you know, there could be a leakage problem at that point. Why would that make you moan when you brought up Butt-Hyman?
Well, it's just you're taking it further, that's all. You're driving it right into the ground.
I went in into the poo area.
You did.
Which exactly. is incorrect, and my apologies, sir.
All right, no problem.
All right, Bob Saget is here.
I'm in, sorry.
and I know you're asking the same question we are, which is why. Because clearly this farce of the Penguins movie that he's been telling us about for a goddamn year doesn't exist. Now, guys, I made this movie. It's not going to be in the theaters, though, but it's going to be coming out on DVD. Now it's a week away. He still hasn't produced a copy. I still think he's punking us.
The FedEx didn't come from Canada.
You didn't get. You said you were going to send us a copy. Nothing showed up. We don't
brought
think
it this morning.
We
I'm
don't
such a
think
lame
the
ass.
Movie exists.
I swear to God on my lawyer butt hymen, it does.
Listen to the talent that is supposedly on this project that doesn't exist.
All right,
Bob Saget, of course, Lewis Black, Christina Applegate, ooh, Jason yeah. Biggs, Dane Cook, Jane Alexander, Tracy Morgan,
or Monique. Jason Alexander.
Jason Alexander.
What did I say?
Jane Alexander. Jane. She's very talented.
Her brother, and narrated by Samuel L. Jackson.
Right.
I could get all those people for my movie, too, if I wasn't going to bother making the movie, Bob.
So you're accusing me of making the Emperor's New Clothes of movies.
Yeah, yes. I'm saying. Yeah.
It does
yes.
not exist.
Hey, narrated by Samuel Jackson. Why not? What the hell?
Now we're going to try and buy it. It's all sold out.
So tell us.
It's really, the best actor in it is Laurence Olivier. He is fantastic.
Wow. Tell us exactly what it is, for those who haven't heard about
it's
it.
It's the James Brown story. Sorry, I've been listening. it is, I watched March of the Penguins. I thought it was funny that they only hook up once a year. They walk 70 miles for a piece of fish. And it was like relatives of mine in Florida. So I said, this is, and they walk around. When I watch March of the Penguins, they all look like, you know, rabbinical students or something. So
right.
I started doing voiceovers. They're like a lame ass. And then I went and just, we were going to take March of the Penguins and take off the soundtrack. So we asked the people at National Geographic and Warner Brothers Classics if we could do that.
Because they're big fans of that kind of stuff.
Well, they thought about it for a second and then said, no. Because as their lawyer, Bud Hyman.
Bud Hyman said,
"No, you'd have to. You break the yellow tape."
So where did you get the?
We got stock footage. David Permit, my producer buddy, and this editor Michael Miller, who did like Raising Arizona and Blood Simple and all these movies, edited 200 hours of stock footage. We got stock footage.
How do you find 200 hours of stock footage of penguins?
We ask ourselves that every day. We went through that and other animals doing it.
Oh, really?
You know, they're all doing it.
Of course.
Sure.
In the movie, there's a sequence. It's beautiful. They do it to the song, The Discovery Channel. Which yes.
Very
you know,
nice.
You have oh, to. The Bloodhound Gang song. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Very nice.
So
Bob, no one has 200 hours to watch a movie.
No, but the editors did. I left them in the room at night with raw meat, and there was like a human head in the refrigerator in the editor's room.
So you guys do the voiceovers for what the penguins would be saying if the penguins were speaking English.
Correct. And the mouths don't move. So it is a stoner movie. It does take a certain amount because it's $10 million. More we found out to move the mouths with CGI.
$10 million
more. Not $10 million more to move the mouths.
So just smoke out and then you don't have to worry about
you're
it.
You're fine. Everything's moving. Sam Jackson is very funny narrating. And it's me trying to find Christina Applegate as my woman and Lewis Black's my buddy. And Tracy Morgan plays a very well-endowed penguin.
Right.
Unusually. And the
do those exist, well-endowed penguins?
Well, they do. We did a computer-generated version of it, which we found out was too freakish and upsetting when you watched the movie. So we put it in.
How can you do a movie about penguins effing and put something in there that's too disturbing?
It's in the deleted scenes. You'll understand when you see it. It flops around. It does damage to snow. It's upsetting.
So Tracy Morgan, the well-endowed penguin, all correct. Penguins are black and white. He's just more black than white is what you're telling me.
Yes, but they're all the same, and that's the beauty of it, because we all are the same as human beings, but we're not
I have a promo penguins. For this movie that doesn't exist. If you want to hear it, Beanham, and they went far enough
movie
to
of,
make,
sure. movie of Unspeakable X.
To make a trailer for a movie that doesn't exist. Tonight is another one of those nights where I avoid the television like the plague, and Bean is drawn to the television like crazy. I mean, he's drawn to it like a magnet because he loves the State of the Union address by the president, and I know exactly what he's going to say, and I have no interest. But we thought...
I watch them all. I'm interested to hear what the leader has to say about the upcoming year. Sure, absolutely.
Thought we'd talk to him today, just ahead of the speech tonight. Good morning, Mr. President.
Prepare for a speech.
Is that how you do it? You prepare for a speech by drinking?
I'm almost ready.
Almost ready. Okay.
Mr. President, I don't know if you had a chance to catch this or not, but your press secretary, Tony Snow, yesterday was given his briefing to the press, and they were asking questions about what he liked best about your speech. Did you have a chance to hear any of this tape, Mr. President?
I didn't hear it, but I'm sure he said a lot of things that are... No, I didn't hear it.
No, you didn't hear it. He was trying to tell them what the best part of the speech was, and I want you especially to listen to the laughter after the punchline.
It's like looking at a drawer full of diamonds.
Yeah, that's a good
It's difficult to figure out which is the best.
Yeah, so they all laughed at that pretty hard.
Hey.
It's like a drawer of diamonds.
Not funny.
So what do you think?
Is that kind of humor.
Is it just partisan spin because he's your press secretary, or is the speech that good that we're going to see tonight at 9 o'clock?
We're pretty excited about the speech. We're feeling like it is a drawer full of diamonds.
Okay, is one of those...
Or cubic zirconias.
Yeah, well, there's a big difference. You're not going to talk much about Iraq, right? Because you did that a couple weeks ago.
Iraq schmack.
Okay.
Nobody's talking about that anymore. It's not important.
From what I hear, you're going to address especially these things, alternative forms of energy.
Oh, yes. Yes. Also, immigration reform.
Immigration reform, yes.
Yeah.
Healthcare.
Touching on healthcare, absolutely. Okay.
And No Child Left Behind. That's what I hear the speech is about.
Those are the main talking points, okay. Yes. Regarding immigration reform.
Yes.
Have an excellent new plan.
Okay.
I think it's going to work. We're going to tell Mexico that Iraq is our new state.
That Iraq is our new state, so it's the 51st state.
51st state.
Why are we telling Mexico that?
So they'll move there.
Mexicans
go to Iraq.
I see.
Lots of jobs there.
So instead of crossing our border, they'll fly...
Muy bus boy amente.
They'll fly all the way to the Middle East.
Lots of gardens need tending.
So
Fill her up. That's what I say. My new plan. Fill her up.
Instead of walking across the border into Arizona, you think they're going to get on a plane and fly to Baghdad?
Sure, why not?
Okay, all right.
Well, milk and honey.
I don't have any problem with that. Okay,
good plan.
Milk and hummus. Alternative energy.
Yes.
Ties in with the immigration reform.
Oh, it does. Okay.
New form of energy. Mexicans on treadmills.
What?
Mexicans on treadmills.
That's how you're going to generate energy?
It's pretty good, huh?
Well, no, it's dumb.
Put them on a treadmill. The other end treadmill, you put a Raiders jersey and a Budweiser.
Right.
They just keep walking towards it.
And you're going to say this in the State of the Union. That's going to be in the speech tonight.
Oh, yeah. They generate a lot of energy that way.
They want those
power
things.
An entire city.
Mr. President, it sounds like you're being a little harsh to those south of the border.
Look, harsh times call for harsh measures.
Okay.
You have to get a drawer full of diamonds.
Okay. All right.
Not
okay.
easy.
All right. What about healthcare? You promised that tonight you've got some big news. Now, does this have to do with your plan to make healthcare more affordable? Fewer people have healthcare today, Mr. President, than when you took office.
Exactly. So we need the answer is fewer people.
What?
Fewer people have healthcare, so we need fewer people.
Well, how are you going to do that?
Put old people to sleep.
I'm a fan of that.
Most of the old people, the ones with all the health problems. So at 60, you take a nap.
I see.
Mr. President, you're 60.
61, you take a nap.
Okay.
All
right. A dirt nap. Do you think you'll be met with any resistance on that plan?
Sure. Old people will be upset, but they're weak. You can knock them over.
Okay.
They get in their face, you say, sit down, Grandpa.
Have you run any of these ideas by your cabinet or any of your advisors?
Not yet. I think they're going to like them, though.
Okay.
Wow. All right. And finally, No Child Left Behind. What do you have in mind for that?
It's not working. Need to change it.
Okay.
Need to make some improvements.
And what kind of improvement?
From now on, I will have a new education bill called One Child Left Behind.
One.
Which child is Mike Schumer. He's an 8-year-old in Fort Lee, New Jersey.
Right.
And you've singled him out. Why?
Just picked him out of a hat. Somebody's got to lose, and it's little Mikey.
Just that kid loses.
One child's left behind.
And you think that will work?
I have no idea.
Okay, good.
I'm just flying blind here.
All right. Well, good luck. By the time the speech comes tonight, I hope you've fleshed it all out.
Is my administration over yet?
Two more years, Mr. President.
Crap.
Two more years.
Oh,
right now, Ralph is here with the showbiz beat, including Oscar nominations. Good morning, Ralph.
Nominations were released this morning for the 97th Annual Academy Awards. Here are the folks that are nominated.
Best performance. 79th.
What did I say? 97?
97th.
I'm a little dyslexic. Performance by an actor in a leading role, Leonardo DiCaprio for Blood Diamond, Ryan Gosling for Half Nelson, Peter O'Toole for Venus, Will Smith, Pursuit of Happiness, Forrest Whitaker, Last King of Scotland. The fact that Sacha Baron Cohen is not nominated in this category is a travesty.
That is bogus.
So tired of comedy getting fracked by the Oscars.
They should just give it its own category, like the Golden Globes.
They don't take it seriously at all.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Legendary comic performances have been ignored.
And I'd like to see any of the fine actors that you just named nominated try to attempt what Sacha Baron Cohen did in Borat. Couldn't do it. Sorry. Peter O'Toole? Sorry, can't do Borat.
Forrest Whitaker?
No.
No way.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
I like. Yeah. Wah, 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 wee.
I have had a gonorrhea many times. A lady is very much like a Borat. High five. I have also had other disease in this area.
Do you know what they were?
I once catch a herpes from my sister.
That means you had sexual relations with your sister.
Yes.
Yes. Did you have sexual relations with any other family members?
No, I am not sick.
No, not sick.
How dare you?
Performance by an actress in a leading role. Penelope Cruz, Volvere. Judi Dench, Notes on a Scandal. Helen Mirren, The Queen. Meryl Streep, The Devil Wears Prada. And Kate Winslet, Little Children.
Oh,
yeah. Best supporting actor nomination. Alan Arkin, Little Miss Sunshine. Jackie Earle Haley, Little Children. Jamin Hunsu, Blood Diamond. Eddie Murphy, Dreamgirls. Mark Wahlberg, The Departed.
How about that Jackie Earle Haley? Talk about the movie comeback of all time. Is this a guy, Ralph, who didn't work for literally 20 years in the show business?
Yeah. He was a popular sort of teen star. Started off in the Bad News Bear movies. Then got ugly and bald. And no one hired him literally for years. And wow. Now he's bounced back with two strong performances this year. Best Supporting Actress... Adriana Barraza for Babel, Kate Blanchett, Notes on a Scandal, Abigail Breslin, Little Girl from Little Miss Sunshine nominated, Jennifer Hudson for Dreamgirls, and Rinko Kikuchi for Babel.
Oh.
Dreamgirls not nominated for Best Movie, big surprise to a lot of people. Babel, The Departed, Letters from Iwo Jima, Little Miss Sunshine, and The Queen were the nominees for that. So you can check out who wins on February the 25th. That's when you see the 79th Annual Academy Awards. Check those out. I mentioned earlier a story today about Jessica Biel going sex toy shopping with her boyfriend, Derek Jeter.
Yes.
They went to a place called the Booty Parlor in the Hollywood Hills and apparently bought themselves a pair of remote-controlled vibrating panties.
A pair?
A pair of panties. That's what you get, a pair, right?
I guess.
Like a pair of pants? I mean, it's one pants unit.
I was picturing him wearing some, too.
Oh, that'd be hot.
Yeah.
In his cup, while he's up at bat. She's in the stands. Strike one. Strike two. Strike three. Anyway, I get this letter from Frenchie. Frenchie sends me this letter. Hey, guys, I listened to you on the way to work this morning. Heard you talking about the Biel Jeter and vibrating panties. Do you know that the panties come with a tiny universal remote control?
Universal?
They all work on the same frequency. Meaning if you got one of the remote controls, you could play with your remote when she's around, and if she's wearing it in public, it could be interesting. Just thought I'd let you know. So next time we have Jessica Biel in the studio, we have to bring in one of those remotes.
Bring a remote.
Just start hitting it. So tell us about your new movie, Jessica. Awesome.
It'd be fun just to walk through a mall and with that thing just to see who's got them.
The most awesomest thing ever. They're having the television festival again at the Museum of Television Radio from March 1st through the 15th of this year. Great lineup of casts and creators of some of your favorite TV shows. For more information, you can go to mtr.org. That's how you go about getting tickets. You should sign up to become a member of the museum. Then you get to buy these tickets in advance. But they do an evening with all these different shows for a couple weeks in March. And here's the list of shows they're going to be dealing with this year. American Idol, Brothers and Sisters, The Closer, Dexter, Heroes, Jericho, Nip Tuck, The Office, Prison Break, Ugly Betty, the 400th episode of The Simpsons, a special celebration, and an evening with George Lucas.
Wow.
A lot of good stuff there. So as I mentioned, mtr.org is the website. Sign up, become a member, and you get to buy these tickets up in advance. I think they go on sale early February, and then they're on sale to the general public after that. So you want to get them first because they sell out, absolutely. And lastly, don't speak to Halle Berry.
At all?
Ever. God, I don't like her so much.
Why?
I don't hate her, I just don't like her. I'll start with that speech. Remember the Oscar speech?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a vessel that fills me up, and I kicked in the door for all black actresses everywhere. Even though my mom's white. And I'm black. My mom's white. I'm black actress. Anyway, apparently, according to TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, she had some people in remodeling her home. They were painting her wood cabinets in her kitchen, doing some work there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And before the contract was signed, everyone who worked on the kitchen had to sign the following, I guess you would call this agreement, with these clauses. All workers are prohibited to approach Ms. Berry while in the home or on the premises. Second, no one is allowed to speak to her at any time.
Dude.
The only approved interaction is if Ms. Halle Berry speaks to you, then you may answer her. Well, thank you. Thank you, Your Highness, for letting me have the privilege to answer you.
So she walks by and you say, hey, fired.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Alarms go off. A steel cage drops from the ceiling. Next thing you know, she's kicking you in the vessel, whatever it is she does.
There's something wrong with that child. That's, you just don't say things like that.
I hear you, Brit. I'm with you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order, SUV. She drives around on an Escalade and fights crime. It's very exciting. She's 43 years old today. Tiffany Thiessen, Beverly Hills 90210, Saved by the Bell, and Fastlane. She's 33 years old today. And Richard Dean Anderson celebrates his birthday today. He is, of course, a MacGyver from the MacGyver fame.
Sure.
However, I got several angry emails today from people who said I'm neglecting his fine work on Stargate SG-1.
Well, you need to tell those people to die.
So I apologize to all the sci-fi fans out there who appreciate Mr. Dean Anderson's work on Stargate.
Or apologize. Either way.
So
those are your people, Ralph. You don't want to cross them.
I love the sci-fi people. You know that? And I am remiss.
All right.
Not mentioning he was on Stargate SG-1. He was also in General Hospital at some time.
Maybe I should mention everything.
Maybe I should just get his resume and read the whole thing. He's 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We made the big announcement yesterday. I still can't believe it, that Coachella is happening this summer. And it's three nights. And there are so many great bands, I don't know where to start. But how about with Rage Against the Machine getting back together? And we said, man, we got a lot of questions this year about the great Coachella Festival. Who do we know? Who's that guy that used to come in and tell us all about it? And that guy is Paul T. And he's in the studios of the world-famous K-Rock. Back for more in 2007. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
First of all, 3 days.
It's better than two.
Yes, it is.
Well, it's more. I'll tell you that.
Certainly a lot more. Tell us, our first question, of course, is about Rage Against the Machine. That's one of our favorite bands, my favorite band of all time. And how did that all come about?
Well, you know, they played before. They played in 99.
Right.
So they'd already been, you know, they knew all about the show.
But you know they weren't together.
I had heard that.
Okay.
And, you know, it's just something I'm a promoter, so I'm always looking to get people.
You've kind of always
kept
that
show
in the back of your mind?
Yeah, and it just seemed like the, you know, best time right now.
So you called them?
You know, just got excited and called and just, you know, saw if they were available.
Paul, there's something you're not telling us here, because as far as we knew, there was no more Rage Against the Machine, hasn't been for a while. Audioslave has been together for a number of years now, and that band is still an ongoing concern. What made you think, hey, I'm going to call and see if one band's breaking up and the other band wants to get back together? There had to have been some sort of a hint that you had that it was a possibility. You didn't just call randomly.
You know, it really wasn't a hint.
No
it,
hint.
It just really seems like a great time for Rage right
so
now.
So all anyone ever had to do was just pick up the phone and call them?
Just no one asked.
No one did it.
Maybe.
Now, Zach, was he difficult to get a hold of? Difficult to get interested? He was all about, he said, yeah, sure.
You know, just went pretty smooth.
Like
They knew the show really well.
Right, of course.
And, you know, they know Southern California well, so
right.
It would make sense if they play something, you know, probably
so they
out,
now,
out here.
Is this a one-off and this is the last time? Are they starting to work back in?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I didn't ask.
Is there some? How could you not ask that? You're just happy that he said yes, I imagine.
As soon as he says it, he just hung up the phone.
Okay, great.
Okay, good. Bye.
It's like if you have four aces, you don't see what the, you know, last card is.
Okay, all right.
You got what you want.
What was your impression, and maybe there's a lot going on you can't tell us about, and we're not obviously trying to get you in trouble here, but what was your impression of how much contact the three members of Audioslave had been in with their former lead singer, Zach? I mean, did you get the impression that everybody was friendly, or there had been some animosity over the years that maybe led to the breakup?
Well, I mean, I know what I read, like everyone else.
Right.
But I don't know exactly. It's the weirdest thing. Like, it went kind of so quick. I didn't want to delve much into it.
But did you hang up and go, how was that so easy? Because to us, that seems like the most difficult thing in the world to get together that band.
I was sort of shaken afterwards and didn't realize, like, is this real?
They said yes.
Yeah. I got to be careful not to tell anyone.
No kidding.
So
how long did you have to keep this? Yeah, I was going to ask, how long do you have to keep this secret? Because this is blockbuster news. You were just waiting for yesterday to finally get here, right?
Yeah, two or three weeks. And I was just petrified that the word would get out. Because I always want to try to break it all at once.
Right.
You know? And it's so hard when you got great news.
It started hitting the internet kind of the night before we announced it.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's pretty good.
I was shocked it waited that long.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, it's good.
Was it that they saw an opportunity at Coachella on April 29th to be on the bill with Willie Nelson? Do you think that had something to do with them getting back together?
I think more Manu Chao.
Right.
It's Friday, April 27th, and the headliner there is Bjork. Saturday, April 28th, the headliner there is Red Hot Chili Peppers. And Sunday, April 29th, Rage Against the Machine getting back together. They're headlining that show. And tickets go on sale Saturday at 10 a.m. We need to take a break.
Oh, you're such a bad man.
I know.
So many questions for Paul.
We have many questions, and we're going to take a quick break and come right back and talk about it.
We're talking about Coachella. For folks who have never heard the name, it's a music festival that's out in the middle of nowhere. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Indio, California, which isn't as far as you think. And this year, it's 3 days. Paul T., the promoter of Coachella, is in our studio. We look forward to this visit every year from him. Does it seem like it's easier every year to put this show on, or is it you can't believe how much work it still is 8 years in, Paul?
It's still the same amount of work. It never gets
really?
Easier. Well, you increase the number of days. Yeah, I mean, that part is... there's been a lot more work just getting all the bands together. But there's a lot more bands nowadays than there used to be, even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It just seems like there's a lot more medium-sized bands.
Speaking of which, you have a bunch of bands, Interpol, Jesus and Mary Jane, Arctic Monkeys, Arcade Fire to the Decemberists. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's hundreds of bands. How do you or they choose the day and the stage and the lineup? And that's got to be a pain.
Yeah. A lot of these bands, it's wild. They know exactly where they want to play.
They say, we'll do it, but we want to do Saturday afternoon, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we want, Mojave Tent, after dark.
Or really?
Second stage, but in the daytime. It's kind of crazy how well the bands know the score.
I guess that helps, unless it runs into...
We have less bands this year each day.
You do?
Yeah, a little less each day.
Boy, it sure doesn't look like it,
because
telling you.
Because it's 3 days, it looks like a lot, but there's a little less each day just so the bands can play a little longer and the set changes are a little longer.
You have 5,000 bands. What are you talking about?
What about the well-known feud between the Ghostface Killah crew and Fountains of Wayne? Are you worried about putting them on stages too close to each other?
Yeah, I'm really worried about Ghostface.
I know what a big music fan you are, Paul, from the times we've had a chance to chat here on K-Rock. Are there bands that were personally significant to you that you really, this is a group I love and I can't wait to bring them to Coachella?
I mean, so many. Manu Chao, a lot of it, just for our company, Golden Voice, we've been around for a long time, like K-Rock.
Right.
And we've done these bands forever. Manu Chao was in another band in 1988. I did it at the Roxy with No Doubt.
Wow.
And Bjork, we did it with the Sugar Cubes, Rage, obviously their first few shows. Chili Peppers, their first, year of shows we did. So
right.
A lot of these bands, it's really fun. Jesus and Mary Chain, seeing the years go by and them still be so relevant.
Right.
That's exciting.
One of the cool things about going out to Coachella, and we go every single year, is that you can see such a wide variety of people. I mean, you got Willie Nelson, you've got, Ghostface Killah, like we said. You've got just all these, techno and everything else. It's just, you can walk from place to place and get a completely different world of music. That's part of the fun of it.
Yeah, I think you got to have an open mind there.
Is there anybody who came to you and said, we want to play, and you said, I don't see you fitting in there?
No, Federline don't have my number. So
as long as K-Fed doesn't call.
That's what we were all thinking, by the way. Let me ask you about a couple of specific bands that really stood out for me. Is Happy Mondays, is that a reunion show? Because I've not heard them for a long time.
They've been playing for the last couple of years.
They're back, okay.
At least last year, They've been playing.
Crowded House, that is a reunion show, right? They have been separated for 10 years or more,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was trying to get Neil Finn, and that just sort of came together, that Crowded House was a possibility. And
I've never met anybody who just falls into better luck than him. He just like, hey, no, figured I'd try and get Neil Finn, and then
I went after Neil Finn, and then it turned out to be Crowded House. They're so great live.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be a
highlight.
But
it's been a long time, right?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
You have, it's funny because, because I'm on the UK iTunes all the time, keeping up with the great music out of Britain, there's several names on here that I know from over there that I don't even know have been released here. Like Micah, for instance, is a huge star over there in the UK right now. This seems like the type of thing where this is like a coming out party in America for some of these new bands.
Yeah, the show is, 100 days away, so I want to have a few that right when the show's happening, the band, is kind of at breaking point.
Right.
Last year we did pretty well with Gnarls Barkley and Wolf Mother.
Like, sure.
When I booked it in November, I barely had heard of it. And come that week,
I could barely get into the tent that Wolf Mother was at.
It's unbelievable.
I was way in the back, and all I could see was his gigantic white afro bouncing up and down. That's all I could see from the point. Because it was just jammed with people that, of course, were rabid fans by then.
Paul T. is in the studio. We're talking about the Coachella Festival. Tickets go on sale Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Explain for folks who maybe haven't been before what the deal is with one-day pass versus three-day, camping out. What are the basics of what you can and can't do for that weekend?
There's a three-day pass, and that's the majority of people buy
most of them do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Last year, most everyone bought a two-day pass. But there's some limited single-day tickets also. And there is camping at the event, so you can come in the Thursday, the night before the show, and you can leave on the Monday after.
How much is it for the camping?
I think it's $45.
$45?
Yeah, $45.
For that many nights?
That's a deal.
Yeah.
Huh.
And you can just, you live there basically at the campgrounds, right? Yeah. At the fairgrounds.
Yeah. Wow. It's right at the, it's
attached.
The field, yeah, it's right next to the actual thing. Yeah. So you don't have to walk or drive or anything else.
No traffic, no nothing.
Yeah.
So we can go, if you've been drinking, you can just go back and
stumble back.
Yeah, there you have
someplace.
It.
Last year, Dave, the King of Mexico, our phone screener, was seeing wolves everywhere. I think he ate some kind of weird cactus. I don't know what was going on out there. But he had a good time and he was running from wolves, as he says.
Do you record on video or audio these shows, Paul?
Yeah, we both. You know, we do our best to try to grab what we can. It's hard. The clearances later is always hard, but at least we have it. So some, you know, we did a movie came out last year, but in the future we still have all this footage. Something will come from it.
The movie had who were the big headliners in the movie? Radiohead.
Radiohead was in it. Chili Peppers, White Stripes, Bjork, a lot of different things. You know, throughout the.
Tell me about people who come in from out of the state.
Half the tickets now are out of state.
Half the tickets?
Wow. Crazy. We sold 1,100 in New York alone.
No kidding. So people just see it online and they just decide, I'm going to go out there for this year.
Well, LA's got the weather, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's been building ever since you've been having great headliners the whole time. Yeah. Do people come from out of the country?
Yeah, I don't know how many countries, but there's like 300-400 people out of the country.
All of the Bjork fans that are out of the country will come in, right? I mean, they're hardcore fans.
I mean, Bjork can draw from everywhere in the world. That's so great about her.
How many people come from the moon? Do you have a number on that?
Still a shutout.
Okay. Damn.
All right. So all the information is at, what site do you recommend? It's Coachella.com, right?
Yes, probably the best that's one. My favorite site in the world.
That is the one. We have a bunch of the information at krock.com, and I'm sure we'll update it. But at Coachella.com, you do have the days broken down.
You guys beat us to it yesterday. A full day ahead of us had all the information.
Really?
We just could not get it together.
That is rare for us.
It is, really.
And your advice for folks, I mean, if it goes on sale tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, it'll sell out when, Paul?
It goes on sale Saturday, 10 a.m.
Saturday.
I have no idea.
10:05.
You never know how things sell.
Coachella. Plan on buying them Saturday morning is what we're saying, though. Yeah. That's our advice to you.
There are a lot of tickets available, and a lot of people go. So.
Yeah. I will say this. We've had crazy response for this.
You had great weather last year, didn't you?
Yeah, last year.
From what I remember,
so
it was just like very mild.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad last year.
It's 105 during the day some years, and 5 at night.
Oh, man.
It's very extreme, but it is a fantastic time. It's Coachella, and again, it is April 27, 28, and 29, a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. And Paul Tillet has been our guest, and the website is Coachella.com.
Congratulations, man. Thank you for coming in, and good luck with the show.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. It is time for Kevin and Beans.
What do you do, nephew?
At 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
Couple of prizes for you today. It's a pair of lift tickets to join K-Rock this weekend at Snow Summit in Bear Mountain. You know, snow is now arriving at Big Bear. Plus, we're going to throw in some passes for the K-Rock Advanced screening of Smokin' Aces. Now, who's in that? That's your Jeremy Piven is in that. Who's,
you got your Ben Affleck.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Got Alicia Keys.
That's right. Yeah.
Star-studded this film.
So you get to all of that just for being on with us. Toll free, 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Amin's What It Do, Nephew.
Lou and your Belinda.
Hey, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do, Lou?
Hello.
Hey, I went to Sport Chalet this Friday to buy myself some Reeboks.
Right.
With the Reeboks, you buy $50 worth of Reeboks, you get tickets to the Clippers game.
They give them away to you for free?
They give away free tickets to a Clippers game.
Uh-huh.
And they just had a whole list. I picked out the Grizzlies this Saturday.
Right.
I was anxious to see that damn Clipper Nation that Dave's always talking about.
Oh, yeah.
The place was damn near empty.
Good job of picking a 12:30 game.
It's his fault for picking a game in the middle of the day.
Yeah,
I wonder if the 12:30 Laker games are empty, Dave.
They are.
How dare you? You moron.
Against Memphis, Dave? Come on, you know.
Yeah, who wants to see Memphis besides Rudy Gay, you know? No one wants to see Memphis.
The Clipper Nation's back.
Oh, it turns out they're not. Turns out they're
There's
not.
There's lots of seats for you to have.
I'm going tonight against Milwaukee.
We're giving them away for free, and that's a fact.
Dude, you test drive a Mazda Miata, you get Laker tickets, so no big deal about that.
How dare you? Your Clippers blow, and I want you to admit it.
Clippers rule. They'll never blow.
Oh, that's like it's like the Raiders. Hey, Raiders rule.
Commitment to excellence.
Get out.
No.
Get out.
No.
Get out.
You're
supposed to be answering phones.
That's right. Later.
Harley in Tarzana.
Oh, I hope this is a girl.
Hi, Harley.
Oh, holy crap. I didn't know I actually made it on air. Well,
we thought that's why you called.
What's crack-a-lackin', party people?
What's happening with you, Harl?
Well, I live in Tarzana, just like you, Kevin.
Yes.
So I was wondering if I could fly in a helicopter with you to
Coachella. That's it a will good be great roof.
Or I am Asian, so maybe I can drive us.
No, you can't drive us, that's for sure. I don't see myself going in a helicopter this year, although if it's offered, of course I will. But the problem is that Rage Against the Machine is playing Sunday night late.
Yeah, so? Uh-huh.
So I don't know what the flying rules are, but I don't think they can fly at night. I don't know.
Helicopters can't fly at night?
Helicopters can't fly at night?
Listen, I don't know. What do I know?
I might want to sort you on that one.
Function at night.
I'm just saying I don't know.
I wonder why they bother putting those spotlights on them then.
I will say
what
this.
Do
I think
at
those
night?
Are the police. I don't know. I don't know the rules.
Police helicopters, right?
I don't know the rules. I don't know.
Traffic helicopters.
But the answer is no, dark. Harley. Just and not because any other reason except for your name is Harley. But thank you for calling.
I think we need to play... what's Kevin's mode of transportation to Coachella?
I think so.
Name that right.
I don't think we need to. By the way, it's called How Does Kevin Get To...
It's called Dude, What's My Ride?
That's
Dude,
my ride.
What's
my ride? Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, can airplanes fly at night?
No.
They can't either.
Nothing
okay.
can fly at night because the sky is dark.
It's dark.
Except for bats.
Erica and... I could take a bat.
Exactly.
Erica in Los Angeles. Good morning.
What it do,
baby boo?
Nothing much. I'm here at work, and I just decided to call to let you know that you guys should watch Channel 22 at 5:30 in the afternoon.
Channel 22?
Is the show called Operación Repo? It's very funny.
It's called Repo?
Yeah, and they just go to people's house in Southern California, and they just repo their car if they can't pay it off. And there's this guy... He's a tow trucker. His name is Mike. He's a white, big, buff guy. He's very funny. And he can't understand the Spanish that they're saying, but they're just arguing and fighting. And some guys even want to, like, fist fight him, and he throws down with them. It's very hilarious.
So it's it's a show where they follow a repo guy. And
yeah,
he...
It's this big Hispanic girl. She has like dreadlocks. She's very big, and she has blonde dreadlocks.
Right.
And then there's this white, big buff guy, and he's like, he's very like, he likes to fight with guys.
What's Channel 22? What's the letters?
Is that Univision?
Excuse me? Yeah, no, it's not Univision. It's some other, I don't know what it's.
It's Spanish, though.
Telemundo.
Telemundo.
The show is awesome.
Is it?
Even awesome. If you don't speak Spanish, the show is awesome. She's doing a pretty good job explaining. They have one repo man who is a monstrous buff guy with a huge handlebar mustache, the meanest looking dude.
You must love him.
And he doesn't listen to people. He doesn't care what they have to say. And they'll ramble in Spanish in his face, talk S to him. And he just walks right up to him. Like, there's nothing they can do. He's like a giant amount. He dominates. He punches in windows and stuff. He's the best.
Wow. I've never heard of this. That's
Mike's
great.
Hero.
He is. He's
funny.
Awesome.
You should watch it.
Thank you, Erica. That's a nice tip.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Erica. Yeah.
Hold on.
Even though you tell a story like a four-year-old.
And then it's a guy, and he's really big, and then he talks, and people understand what he says, but he doesn't care anyway, and he gets the car, and he goes in anyway, and it doesn't matter because he's really big and he's really good.
Wow. That was a good tip from Erica. And I think Erica's hot.
She's absolutely hot. I love, this is what I love about this
Psycho Bike. Too, she's got.
That's what I love about this. Very crunchy.
Psycho Bike. It doesn't matter what channel it's on or what language it's on. If there's anyone on the satellite TV who's dominating someone, Mike will find it. I don't know how he does it.
He's got Dominate as one of his TiVo themes. He just punches it in and it records all shows with domination in them.
Tom in Irvine. Good morning.
Well, what'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do,
Lisa May?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, so a couple of days, I'm watching the Tyra Banks show, and I have to admit, I know.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's stop right there and ask why.
Hold on. This is good, okay?
Okay.
I'll admit it. I have a man crush on Psycho Mike, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I swear to you, I saw Psycho Mike on the front row of the Tyra Banks show hooting and hollering. I don't know if it was Psycho Mike.
All right, hold on.
He's got a
Tom.
Very guilty look on his face right now.
Were you in the front row of the Tyra Banks show hooting and hollering?
Tom from Irvine, how handsome was this man that you saw?
No, that's not the question. Were you there?
No, I wasn't. I really wish I was at this point.
Yeah. Oh, man, no, this guy looked almost like you, Mike.
It wasn't him.
What do you mean
it looked almost like him? You called to say it was him.
Yeah, he was black.
I swear, it could have passed for his twin. Because I looked at my buddy, and I said, that's Psycho Mike from K-Rock. And I said, what's he doing at the Tyra Banks show?
Do you want to go on a date with Psycho Mike?
No, I'm married. I don't think my wife would like that.
Would you and your wife want to go on a date with Psycho Mike?
Well, yeah, maybe.
Okay. He's in. Thank you. Hold on.
So I looked at my buddy, and he put his clothes back on, and I was like, I can't believe we're watching this.
I like Tom. Tom seems like a level-headed
guy. I bet you do.
Tom's a level-headed guy.
He's not a level-headed guy if he's watching Tyra.
He's a level-headed guy if he's got a man crush on me.
That's the worst show in the history of man.
Mike's now grinding his crotch against Kevin.
Tyra. I want to thank all of our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including Steve Wozniak, an honest-to-goodness computer genius. The book is in stores now called I Was, From Computer Geek to Cult Icon, How I Invented the Personal Computer. Also, I want to thank our friend, comedian Bob Saget. One Versus 100 is his show that airs Friday nights at 8 on NBC, and he claims that Farce of the Penguins is out on DVD next Tuesday. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not, but the way he describes it, it could be funny, so take your chances.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. I guess, Ralph, you're going to have to come in with some American Idol highlights. They're still doing the bad, right?
You act as if it's a chore. It's what I live for. I love this more than anything.
As long as they're doing the bad, it's acceptable. But once they start doing the good, we got to stop.
No way.
Because I can't take it.
I'm going to pick another winner.
I can't take it.
Ralph, do you think they're showing us any of the finalists, or do you think they're saving those to the round when they get to Hollywood? Because it seems like they're showing so few that are actually good. What do you think?
No, I'm absolutely positive that the 16-year-old crack baby, she's going to be in the mix somewhere in the finalists.
Ooh, okay.
And apparently tonight is Memphis, I think, and then New York is tomorrow night. But apparently,
I think so.
A couple big time talents coming out of there too. So,
all right. Also on the show tomorrow, Lisa May is, I think, she's a thumbs up. She's a green light. She's a go for the G shot.
Finally,
yeah.
We get the plumper G spot.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
So we'll talk about that.
You're excited. They're going to put in a syringe in your G spot.
Oh, it's the after that.
That
I'm
sounds
excited
freaking
about.
Painful. It I don't even does. Have a G spot.
They deaden it.
Do you want a dead G-spot? Also, lose-lose right there.
We'll continue to make some more calls about James Brown's body watch 2007. His body is missing.
There has to be some fear on your behalf that they'll screw it up somehow and it'll be dead for life.
It will not.
Won't it be sore afterwards when the deadness wears off?
Had dental work. Have you ever known anyone whose mouth was dead for life?
I don't look forward to the dental work.
Yeah, but it's just a shot.
I'm not going to go get my scrotum plumped.
You guys don't understand.
I'm just saying. Something
I guess
go
I'm
wrong.
Just more manly than you.
That's for sure.
I'm not that scared. I'm sure I'll be a little nervous, but I don't think it's a
You're
big deal.
You're quite the dude.
Should we come with you?
Apparently, compared to you guys.
Should we bring a microphone?
Yes.
Oh,
the microphones were there.
And a video camera.
Yes.
And a spelunking helmet.
No.
And a wetsuit.
And a length of rope.
That's a great idea.
And some cleats.
Hazmat.
But I hear it's like spit in the ocean with Lisa. That's what I hear.
No, no.
You never heard that
that's
anywhere.
I hear an echo.
That's from a different thing.
Echo.
And tomorrow, he apparently has escaped from a Cambodian prison.
Jack Bauer?
Where he was just about to serve a life sentence for dealing drugs.
Kiefer Sutherland?
Doto will be in our studios.
Yeah! Oh.
Okay. Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean.
What's that?
I need a woman.
Yeah.
He almost got put to death on his last trip.
Damn.
That rules. So we're going to have him on the program tomorrow.
It almost
pays somebody enough.
And more chances for you to qualify for K-Rock's World Tour 2007. That is tickets for Coachella. You get to pick the day. And destination number 4 is the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Australia. You'll be qualified for that as well.
Crikey!
Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. New music from Buck Cherry will be included. Also some Weezer. We got Incubus, Sublime, My Chemical Romance, Foo Fighters, Green Day, and more right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.